about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, wow. Look at this. Look at this. What's going on over here, Mom?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I know everybody at home now is just glued to the television set. What really caught my attention was the huge, beautiful outdoor pool. This pool definitely calls out to me. This makes you so proud to be a Californian. It's been a great day. Our avocado adventure. Actually, we also saw a dog eat an avocado today.
Right.
The Grove we were just visiting, their dogs ate avocados, and they are have the shiniest, healthiest-looking coat.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is for all the fat girls.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That is the inside of your vagina.
Roll another one.
Pretty fly for a white guy.
Just like the other one.
I'm all excited, brother.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Don't even start bagging on me, man.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Shine. Let's shine, dude.
This is magical.
Roll another one.
Well, it's not all bad. At least you got a cherry coke.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end.
I don't understand what this is.
I don't have another sense. But don't walk out that joint.
Oh, leave Brittany alone.
Just pass it around.
I love that story. Don't you love that story?
And now, well, let's go inside. They've got a painting of, looks like Burt Lancaster up on the wall. I'm not sure what we've... Is that picture in there of Burt Lancaster?
Our feature presentation.
I can't believe...
How much I love Huelhauser?
How much I love Huelhauser. And that I didn't know about him until he died.
It's always that way, man.
A couple days ago. That's crazy because he's so right up my alley.
Yeah, he's pretty great. I will tell you that every day this past week, I just can't wait for the show to end so I can go back to YouTube and listen to more Huelhauser clips.
My God, how did he stay on the air ever?
Because he's
and
awesome.
Always.
And I paid for that.
That's right.
I helped pay that man's salary.
And you should be grateful that your tax dollars were at work for the great Huelhauser.
How about that?
Is that a picture of Burt Lancaster? He went on.
He'll take as much time as he needs to get that answer, too.
That particular show, by the way, he's visiting a place called the Baghdad Cafe. I'm not sure where it is. I guess there was a movie at one time back
there
in the 80s.
Called yeah.
And it was
it's
filmed
in the
there.
Desert.
Yeah, it was filmed there. So they needed the Baghdad Cafe. And I don't know, did Huelhauser, is the deal he didn't edit his shows? Like they were practically done in real time?
I can't imagine he did.
Because he's obsessed with trying to find out why there's a picture of Burt Lancaster, who is an old actor, on the wall of this restaurant. He's trying to figure out if maybe Mr. Lancaster had been there or what the deal is. And I swear to God, Kevin, I'm not lying. He has somebody live on camera call the owner or the person who used to own it or something like that. And he's standing there with the guy while the guy's on the phone talking to the dude to find out how the picture got there and why it was on the wall.
That's so crazy.
That was on TV.
We spend every minute looking at the clock because we're always behind and our boss always gets mad at us because we talk too long and we have to
right.
get to the point quickly and move on. And he's so the unbelievable opposite of that.
Quite a luxury, isn't it? However long it takes, that's how long it takes.
I would have watched every episode of that had I known he was that bad.
Slash good.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, real quick, because I don't want this story to get away. It's not a long story. It's not an original story, but I love it every time it's in the news. Jessica Webster is her name. She is in jail in Kentucky. And a jail employee, the article says, detected something hidden in an unexpected place. And this is just the latest time we've seen this great story. She's 29 years old. She had 4 hypodermic needles filled with heroin tucked away inside her vagina.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That, which is, you
wow.
know, it tells you everything you need to know about her. I mean, she's worried about going into prison and not having her drug. She's a heroin addict. And where else are you going to hide it that you think you at least have a possibility
of it
not being discovered?
They did. Check that?
Yeah. Yeah. She may have thought she was going to get away with it. She was, according to the report filed down by the Louisville Metro Department of Corrections, officer notes that after a pat down, she was asked if she had any contraband on her. She said no. But apparently they felt the need to continue to search, and it came up.
She had syringes in there.
They couldn't have been uncovered, I'm sure. But
yeah,
still,
they must have had a cap on them, right?
Oh, yeah, but...
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Wow.
We need to do this phone topic, and I don't think we've ever done it before, if you've ever smuggled anything or hidden anything in your vagina. I don't think we've ever done that before.
I think we need to do it. I can't contribute, unfortunately, although I do have the weekend to change that.
There you go. Get to work.
So maybe I can figure something out.
In March of last year, a woman pulled over on suspicion of drunk driving told custody officers she also had 4 syringes, along with a large spoon and a clear plastic bag in her vagina. That was in Frankfort, Illinois.
Wow.
In October of last year, drug sniffing dogs discovered 17 grams of meth and a clear pipe in a 23-year-old woman named Nicole Denzer of Circle Pines, Minnesota. And the best one that's referenced in the article is a Philadelphia, Pennsylvania woman. In October, police observed she was walking funny, searched her, and found 36 vials of crack in her vagina.
Wow.
36.
She was going to have a party.
She's going away for a while, man. She wanted to be prepared. But let's make a note of that. If you've ever hidden anything in your vagina, we may need to do that as a phone topic.
I guarantee we have listeners who have got on planes that way, who've taken stuff on planes.
Oh, yes.
Guarantee.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
That reminds me. No.
By the way, I almost killed Lisa May yesterday. I just want to point that out.
Yes, that is true.
I was backing up in the parking lot, and she came up beside my car laughing. And I was like, hey, what's going on? She's like, you did. I thought you did that on purpose. And I was like, what? She said, you almost ran me over.
He's backing up. You know how he does. He just guns it.
How I do. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show. I'm glad you're not
there. I say this with love. You sicken me.
Thank you. Cousin Sal will be here with his NFL picks.
Mm-hmm.
From the TV show Shameless, we have Steve Howie. We have LaQuisha talking about the runaway hit Buck Wild. Where they found... I don't know, the stupidest people on earth?
Don't call them Jersey Shore.
I mean, it's really, they do make Jersey Shore look like they're college grads. I mean, yeah. It's unbelievable. Bean's very upset about something today. We're going to have to let him air his complaint. Otherwise, he may implode.
Okay.
Well, they are crapping on my childhood, if that's what you mean.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Matt Money Smith will be in the studio talking about the Lakers and the Clippers and Baseball Hall of Fame and all other things sports. And we got the movie beat because it is Friday. And in about a half hour, we're going to discuss the fact that Beer Mug is really fat.
Oh, my God.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Finally, Friday, got some good news for Kevin and Bean listeners. I always thought when we finally lost Beer Mug, it would be in one fell swoop. You know, he'd get fired or die or something like that. I realize that's not going to happen, but we are losing him slowly, one day at a time. So at least the end is in sight. You guys are with me, right?
Yeah, I'd give him a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely on the way out. Just a little slower than I would have.
Not good enough?
No, you know what? That slowly thing, that's the Chinese water torture. That's pulling the Band-Aid off just one hair at a time on
that's
your forearm.
True. We need to just yank it?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right. Well, we will discuss and bring you up to date coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with our very first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day.
Sad news, people. Looks like Justin and Selena are broken up for good this time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. What happened?
Yeah. Story now is that Selena Gomez had reasons to believe that Justin Bieber was still interested in Victoria's Secret model Barbara Palvin.
Oh, so it's not just what I thought, which is that he's an intolerable dick?
No, well, there's that. But apparently he's also still been in communication with this model that he met, and Selena found out. And according to sources close to the couple, she told him, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
She didn't.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, those are fighting words in Canada. You know how Canadians feel about their doors. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. But, well, good for her.
Yeah, I hope it's. Hope she's moving on to bigger.
She's adorable, by the
bigger
way.
Bigger and better. Yeah,
Selena Gomez.
And real
she's
talented,
like
a
real,
too.
A
really
but
nice
there's
girl.
Something wrong with her because she was dating Justin Bieber.
That's true, Lisa. Yes. You can find it's an indicator, as we say in the business. Speaking of the Biebs, his former bodyguard, Moshe Benabou, is filing a lawsuit against Justin Bieber to the tune of $420,000, most of that in unpaid overtime. He is suing Bieber, claiming that during an argument with his employer, Bieber roughed him up.
Oh, come on. Why would you admit that? Come on, even if it happened, I'm with Dean. Don't tell a soul.
The burly former Israeli soldier...
Oh, come on.
...says that the Biebinator yelled at him and punched him repeatedly in the chest during their disagreement. And now he wants to be paid for that, abuse he had to put up with. I just picture... who's the old dude on The Simpsons?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Burns. Mr. Burns, Montgomery Burns. Just, just like just hitting his chest and just his hands just bouncing off.
And it would take him like 3 minutes to go, are you hitting me?
What the?
What's happening right
you
now?
You know who I am and who you are? So sources say this may be just he's trying to get some leverage in his lawsuit to try to get that money back. Apparently he's owed it anyway, but it doesn't help you throw in there a little, little hostile work environment. Helps the judge see things your way.
It's been a long time since there's been a story that's come out with Justin Bieber in it that has been a positive for him, by the way.
Oh, no, he visited that girl in the cancer ward
last week. Killed her, right?
No, he didn't kill her.
I thought she died.
He showed up and performed for her and gave her a big wet kiss.
Okay. So I gave her herpes.
Did not give her herpes. Just saying. Cameras just happened to be there, but...
Sure.
A lot of paparazzi hang out by the cancer wards. You know how it is. Tragic news. The Lingerie Football League is getting a makeover. They will no longer be playing football in lingerie.
Okay, that seems like a complete cancellation more than a makeover.
Well, it's not a cancellation because they will now be playing in what they're calling performance wear.
Okay.
And for some women, lingerie is performance wear, depending on what kind of performances they give.
Right.
It'll still be sexy wear, but apparently it'll be more safety-minded. You know, it's always like the NFL. They're trying to keep concussions out of the Lingerie Football League, I'm sure.
Because of all those hard hits?
Yes. So it's going to be more increased protection for the women of the gridiron, as they call themselves. And
I don't think that's what we're looking for.
The changing of the name of the league. From Lingerie Football League to Legends Football League.
Legends?
Yeah, well, they're legends, Kevin. They're the legends.
Could you have picked a less sexy name?
No, you really couldn't. I just think of old black dudes when I hear legends in football.
Sounds like the Hall of Fame game or something.
I don't see Dick Butkus out there with some hot chick. I don't understand.
That's weird.
Yeah. First, the Puppy Bowl adds hedgehog cheerleaders. I mean, the whole sport's just gone down right down the
track. That's true.
It's unacceptable.
They still got the Water Bowl cam, though, Ralph, so we got that to look forward to.
Oh, good. Documentary about Green Day for you fans. Will be premiering at the X Games Aspen on January the 26th. It's called Quattro, which, as you can imagine, is a playoff of their new studio albums, Uno, Dos, and Trey. Quattro follows the band as they come off a massive world tour and then go into the studio to record those three studio albums. Film will eventually hit theaters and then get a release on DVD and Blu-ray, but if you're going to be at the X Games in Aspen in January at the end of the month, you'll be able to catch it there at a very special premiere.
Pretty cool.
And more music news. This is exactly what Nine Inch Nails fans are hoping for. Trent Reznor has announced he's not reviving that band, at least not yet, but he does have a new side project called How to Destroy Angels.
Is that the one with his wife?
Yep.
Yeah. New album from that side project is called Welcome Oblivion. It's going to be out on March the 5th, so Trent fans will be able to get a little taste of their hero doing some new music.
I like that. I like that. Some of those songs from How to Destroy Angels. It's real good. It's more electronic than what we're used to from him for Nine Inch Nails, but still real good.
Let's see. He was born today on January the 11th. Kim Coles, very funny actress. She was on Living Single and in Living Color. She only does shows that have living in the title.
Bell or no bell for Miss Coles?
I would leave the bell off.
All right.
But I worked with her in a show called 10 Items or Less, and she is a sweetheart of a woman and very, very funny. She's 51 years old today. Our good buddy, Tom Dumont, guitarist for No Doubt, is 45 years old today. Singer Mary J. Blige turns 42. Christian Jacobs, of course, member of the legendary Aquabats, but probably better known these days as the TV producer of Yo Gabba Gabba. Without Christian Jacobs, my daughter Olivia would have no childhood whatsoever.
Wow. You owe him a lot.
I owe him a lot. He is 41 years old today. And actress Amanda Peet from Studio 60 and the Sunset Strip, the whole nine yards, just a ton of work. She is 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got another day to maybe go to Australia, at least get qualified
where?
By winning
Link. Sorry, where?
Australia!
Thank you.
You can get qualified by winning Linkin Park's latest called Living Things. Then you're on the standby boarding list, apparently Monday morning, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to call somebody up and say you're going to Australia! That'll be at 9:10 this morning. You can qualify. And then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10 all day long today here on the world-famous Kerouac. Details at Kerouac.com.
Beer mug is fat. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about beer mug. I don't know if you were listening last year when we did the beer mug weight challenge where he was going to try and drop
30
pounds?
30 pounds. Yeah.
30 pounds.
And by the way, shocked the world by doing it.
Yes. And then I offered him an extra 100 just to keep it off for two more months.
Right.
With no bet. Like, he doesn't have to pay me if he loses. Just a little carrot out there for him to try and...
A little incentive.
Yeah, a little incentive. And that didn't work at all. It was, I don't know, he gained it back. He gained 5-10 pounds back by that point. And now he's heavier than he's ever been. He told us yesterday in the office, this was said verbatim. I can't button my pants button.
Beer mug's fat. Fat, 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 fat. Beer mug's fat. Fat, fat, fat. Beer mug's fat.
Are you walking around all the time with your pants buttons just not done up anymore, Mugs?
Yeah, when I do wear pants that have buttons, I just zip up and then just leave the top.
You get to the part where you're only zipping halfway.
Yep.
What's going on, son? What's happening? Well,
beer mug is so fat, damn, he's so fat. Beer mug is so fat, that boy's got back. Beer mug is so fat, he likes smoking doobies. Beer mug is so fat, he's got mad boobies.
Yeah. And by the way, he also made this announcement. I think my man boobies are bigger than ever.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Lisa's now jealous, I'll tell you that.
I'm lending him some old bras.
Mugs, here's the thing. Look, I don't care whether you live or die. You know that. Yeah. But
that's been made very clear.
I do feel like, you guys remember that movie from the 90s with Nicolas Cage called Leaving Las Vegas?
Yes.
Where there was a guy who just, I don't remember what his circumstances were, but he just gave up on life. And he went to Las Vegas and he was going to drink himself to death. That was his plan. He didn't care. He was just going to drink and drink and drink until he died. That was his goal. I feel like that's what Beer Mug's doing with food. It's like there's nothing, he's got no incentive to keep going anymore. So every day he wakes up and says, how can I get one step closer to getting into the grave? What can I eat today?
I don't think it's so much me giving up on life as it is that I just love food and I'm just a gluttonous pig. That's
okay.
What it is.
Well, both have the same attributes.
Yeah.
Before the holidays, his whole thing was I'm going to eat right up until New Year's and then boom,
that's his
I'm
New Year's
going
resolution.
But I'm just going to shove it in because what was the theory? Because good food will taste good.
Good food
because
will
I will have eaten so much crap.
Yeah, and I'll be sick of the crap by the time I have the.
That was his genius plan.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really start the gym so much as I planned on doing at the beginning of the year.
Well, it's only the 11th.
Yeah.
What's the rush?
Congratulations, though, because most people that make that New Year's resolution go once or twice to the gym before they fall off. Yes, you never went.
And I never went. And see, I figure that's right, Kevin. And if I, you know, until the time I do go, I still have a little leeway to just eat whatever I want.
Until the time you do. Yeah. See, this is what he does. So we came back Thursday, I want to say the 3rd.
3rd, yeah.
Last Thursday.
Yeah.
And he said, that's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to start on Monday.
We were like, what's happening? Why are you eating so much? This is the new year.
So we were like, that's the 7th. Usually, New Year's resolutions begin, I don't know, on New Year's.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little closer to New Year's.
I figured the first week, you know, too close to New Year's, and it just got back into the work week. And then I ended up getting kind of like a sinus infection the second week, and I wasn't really feeling up to going.
And by the way, I'm in no way trying to discourage you here, Bugs, but if you start now, you're just going to run right into the Martin Luther King weekend.
That's true.
That just is going to derail you.
You know how much you need to eat then. Well, yeah. Because, yeah, all the parties and stuff.
Right. And then. Beer mug is so fat. That's true. And the way I look at it now, I mean, with Martin Luther King, and then you got Super Bowl weekend coming up, like the beginning of February.
Yeah, you can't do anything until after that.
Maybe February.
Well, if I start working out now or on this coming Monday, I could, you know, maybe have Super Bowl as one cheat meal or cheat day as Psycho Mike.
Right. Cheat month. How about cheat month? It's in February, right?
I've been doing a cheat year for the past year.
Let me back up and just say, I love how your mind works, because you're going to start working out on Monday, something you could very easily begin today.
I don't want to begin it today because it's Friday.
It is Friday.
Well, you don't want to be on a diet on the weekend, right?
No, of course not. You don't want to start a diet on the weekend.
No. So you got to wait till Monday.
Yes, I'm going to wait till Monday, and, you know, I think I'm going to turn it around this time. I really, sure.
Based on what?
We order food every day.
Yeah.
Most days we go to a Subway near the radio station.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
great choice, by the way, Subway.
Right,
you
exactly. You can get a sandwich that's not quite so bad for you. So Beer Bug started ordering normal. You know, we'd get 6-inch subs, and then all of a sudden Beer Bug would go, and a foot long, yeah. Extra mayo, right? And then he would order another, like, 6-inch. And then he would order cookies.
And then there's chips. They throw in chips, right?
Yeah, chips.
Yeah, I want some chips.
Can I get some extra chips?
Yeah.
And then he would eye my 6-inch. So that's the first time I've said that. And until I finally just said, do you want it? You just feel bad. Like, the kid doesn't eat any time except for when he's here. But when he's here, he eats enough for a week every day.
Here's what I've noticed when I'm in the studio and I'm around Beer Mug.
You notice
Beer Mug is so fat.
What I notice is,
come on, kids.
It is exactly like having a dog. You know how you have a dog who follows you around the house, who sits at the couch, who never, ever gives up on begging for food? If you've got food, that dog has his face as close to you as possible trying to get a scrap. That's what Beer Bug is like. He acts like he's never seen food before.
And there's no – he also has what dogs have, which is they don't have that line where they go, I'm starting to feel sick. I should stop eating. He just keeps eating until he throws up.
Yeah. My stomach just –
like dogs.
Just keeps expanding. And that's my problem now is I've gotten to the point where my stomach is so stretched out, it takes so much food for me to even feel
a
little bit full.
You are such a liar. That's not true.
What do you mean?
Your stomach isn't like 10 times the size.
It's big. I'm sitting here right now.
Oh, I know it's big.
Omar looked at me yesterday and said, hey, Mugs, you keep the weight well. Where you weren't put it? I said, it sits all in the midsection. Love handles, stomach, I'm a fat ass.
Yeah.
And I don't feel good about it.
Okay, so why don't you do something about it?
Monday
is our question.
Monday,
you're not
going
to do anything Monday.
Monday, I'm going to start.
You say that every Friday.
But this Monday, it's really going to happen.
Beer Mug is so fat.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing, Mugs.
Will do.
Beer Mug so fat, 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 so fat, fat.
Finally Friday. That means Ralph Garman joins us in studio. It's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
The drought that is the pre-Oscar movie world is starting to abate a little bit. We're starting to get some interesting films opening up this weekend. Some of them going into wider release that were released in order to get considered for Oscar nominations, and now you can see them in more theaters. One movie that opens up in theaters this weekend is a movie in limited release called Struck by Lightning from Chris Colfer from Glee.
Oh, really?
Wrote this film as well as stars in it. It is an interesting story of a teenager who is struck and killed by lightning, and then posthumously he recounts how he blackmailed his fellow classmates into contributing to his literary magazine. It has...
it's a strange storyline.
It is.
Sounds a little disjointed.
It has the qualities that you would expect in a film from Chris Colfer from Glee. Deals with some issues that he cares about, being a gay teen.
Mm-hmm.
And also has a lot of funny comedy moments in it as well. Rebel Wilson co-stars with Chris Colfer, along with Christina Hendricks.
All right.
Wow.
And
good
Dermot
cast.
Mulroney. It is a real good cast. Here are some clips from the trailer of Struck by Lightning.
Welcome to Career Day here at the Counseling Center.
I know the exact career that I want.
What is it, Munchkin?
I want to be the editor of The New Yorker and the youngest freelance journalist to be published in The New York Times, LA Times, and the Chicago Tribune.
Okay.
I've got to get into Northwestern.
Never heard of it.
I remember when I realized I was different.
Everybody hates you.
You remind me of my grandson.
Why is that?
You're sad, Ruby.
You need to be on antidepressants. You were on ADD medication as a kid.
I thought I was just really calm and mature for my age.
Nope, you were drugged. I hid it in your food.
I hid it in your food. Zero Dark Thirty. It's getting a lot of attention since the Oscar nominations were announced. Catherine Bigelow, director of this film, got passed over. That was one of the Oscar snubs people were talking about. However, Jessica Chastain did get nominated. She stars in this film about the decade-long hunt for Osama bin Laden.
After I've seen this. It's great.
September 20, 2001 attacks. And Joel Edgerton, Chris Pratt, and Mark Strong also all star in this film. And there's a pause where Kevin would say,
could
he's
I have seen said
it?
That at a more inappropriate time?
No, it was good. It was a helpful interruption. So I appreciate your good work.
I've seen it. It's good.
Here are some clips from the trailer of Zero Dark Thirty.
We're spending billions of dollars. We are still no closer to defeating our enemy.
20 detainees recognize that photo.
Where was the last time you saw bin Laden?
Oh my God, is that what I think it is?
Where was the last time you saw bin Laden?
And the kids are raised by their mama in the desert.
Nope.
It's very terrifying.
Different movie. I have a question for you this film, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
They were well on
I've
their
seen
way.
It. It's good.
They were well on their way to pre-producing and writing this movie when bin Laden was captured that night last year, right? They were going to make a movie before he was captured.
They were?
How? Well, oh, yeah. I mean, that was the plan. They were already well into preparing this film to be made. What was that movie going to be like? How could they successfully have made a movie where they didn't catch bin Laden at the end, I wonder?
Hmm.
This is a project Catherine Bigelow has been working on for a long time, was committed to doing. I mean, it was so fortunate they kind of had to go back to the drawing board and, you know, change everything once they caught the dude. But I can't imagine how the alternate film would have looked.
Hmm.
Just would have said in words, sure would have liked to kill them.
Sure put a lot of time and effort into this manhunt.
Osama bin Laden is still at large. They just would have put a bit of card up at the end of the film.
It would have been a lot less satisfying, though, as a movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And that question was for me?
Yes.
That wasn't a question. It was more a statement.
No, it's a question.
There's no way I could possibly have answered that.
I thought you'd have known something about it.
If I was Catherine Bigelow, I couldn't have answered that question. I got nothing for it. I got no answers.
Kevin saw that movie and it was good, though.
That's what I heard. Loud and clear, right in the middle of my sentence. It was very entertaining.
Sorry.
A haunted house opens this weekend. Now we're talking. The Wayans are back. Yeah.
It is the Halloween season.
Marlon Wayans moves into a house, but there sure is a demon that lives in there, and it's just a spoof of all those movies. Oh, it's Paranormal Activity, it's The Exorcist. This demon is just a troublemaker, and then they have to bring in a guy who tries to exorcisms the house. Cedric the Entertainer plays the exorcist, and This movie. Will the laughs ever start? You got to ask yourself as you watch this.
Very enthusiastic about this movie.
Here is a scene from A Haunted House where an exorcism is being performed. And Cedric the Entertainer featured in this clip along with Marlon Wayans and Nick Swarsden.
There's an exorcism happening, people!
Power comes to you! The power comes to you!
What is that, holy water?
No, it's a new cologne from Chloe and Lamar. It's unisex.
I can smell Lamar.
Oh my God, it's coming! Chip!
Hey, I'm afraid of the dark.
Why do you have your hand on my balls?
I'm protecting them from spirits.
That is a movie.
That's real?
That was filmed.
Wow.
Film stock was used to record that dialogue and those performances.
But then it got a release date?
And then they projected that after they developed the films, you take it into a laboratory, they developed that film stock.
Huh.
They turned it from a negative and then into a positive, and then it is brought to a theater, projected up on a large screen.
Which takes it back to negative.
For people to watch.
I don't know Kevin anymore if he's not a little
Please.
Bit interested in going to see this.
Please.
And lastly, the movie I'm most excited about this weekend, Gangster Squad, hits the screen.
That looks great.
Director Ruben Fleischer, in his first dramatic outing, takes on the story, true story, of the LAPD's fight to keep East Coast Mafia types out of Los Angeles in the 1940s and 50s. You may be familiar with the Parker Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chief Parker, who was the namesake of that building, is featured in this film. He was the one who decided to take on Mickey Cohen and the other East Coast mob types who were trying to move in Los Angeles at the time. Sean Penn just chews up the scenery as Mickey Cohen in this film. And it looks great. Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone looks lovely in this film. Giovanni Ribisi, Nick Nolte, Josh Brolin. Just an amazing cast. And I love me some gangster films, especially when they're set in the 40s and 50s like this one is. Here's a scene where Sean Penn, as gangster Mickey Cohen, is talking to Chief Parker about how he wants to pull all the cops that he can't buy off out of commission.
Chief Parker put him up to it. I've had it with that sadistic Bible-thumping boozer. He's done.
We never had that kind of trouble before.
Trust me, Carl. I bought myself enough cops. I know what I'm talking about. These guys are a special brand. A hard case is not interested in money. Cop is not for sales like a dog with rabies. There's no medicine for it. You just gotta put them down.
Ah! This looks awesome.
Tell us your pick in Nick Nolte's voice, would you?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I'd go see this movie. This looks really good. I like that Nick Nolte. He's a hell of an actor.
That's my pick for the weekend. Gangster Squad. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie B.
They will never, never wrestle away from us the most hip-hop in the morning. That is ours. We own it. Fun period. Coming up also, Black Keys and Blur on the way here on the world-famous K-Rock. And we have a very talented actor from the TV show Shameless. That's a show we don't talk about very much on the show. But Steve Howie plays the bartender on that show. Is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, Cousin Sal with predictions for the NFL weekend ahead. It's all on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, we were just talking about Justin Bieber about a half hour ago in the Showbiz Beat. And talking about, well, there's been a lot of stories about him. One, the biggest one so far has been him smoking the weed, allegedly, that TMZ had pictures of. And then he sort of didn't deny that, did he?
No.
No, I don't recall that he did.
Not only did he not deny it, but now that the word has come out, Kevin, that he is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live next month, he's even said to them, go ahead and make fun of that if you want. Go ahead and post. That's not even off limits to him. So the impression I get is he's like most 18-year-olds, which is so what?
Yeah, I agree. I agree, but and then the one today is that, you know, Selena Gomez said bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we thought we'd check in with Justin just to find out how his life's going.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on for Justin Bieber, not all of it good. Welcome back, Justin. How are you, my friend? Well, I guess pretty good is how you are.
All the questions, bro.
I just said, how are you? That's all. What's going on, man? You're in the news a lot these days.
Yeah, I sure am.
Now, Justin, I understand an occasional, you know, bong rip. I get that. But you're a guy who's on stage most nights, and it seems like you're busy. You kind of have to stay sharp. You kind of have to stay focused. You got a lot of balls up in the air.
Balls.
He did say that.
I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, you said balls, eh?
I'm just saying you got to stay sharp. You got to be careful with that because that's a rabbit hole you go down. The next thing you know, you just hit.
And, oh,
no, come on.
You said all, eh?
Okay, I'm just saying. What's the thing here? Is it a problem? Or are you doing it like all the time? Or is it just an occasional way to blow off some steam?
What are you talking about, eh? I don't even know what you're referring to. What steam is this I'm blowing off?
What I'm saying is I'm asking how much weed are you smoking?
Weed? I don't even smoke that stuff, eh?
You don't?
What's all that about?
Well, we heard you with
heard
a bong as we picked up the phone.
No, that's my vaporizer, eh?
Okay, same thing.
I've got like bronchitis.
Uh-huh.
Because it sure is cold in Canada.
Right.
Even though I live in Los Angeles here now. But it's cold here too, eh?
It is cold.
You don't sound like you have a cold.
You have to get lots of vitamins and medicine in your lungs, eh?
And that's what you're doing with the bong?
That's what I'm doing with my vaporizer.
Vaporizer, right,
yeah.
All right, so what about these photos that went around the world on TMZ.com of you smoking what looks like a big blunt with a little twist?
That's first of all, you don't even know, okay?
Well, that's why he asked.
You look at that photo. Yeah, I'm smoking something, but it could be a clove cigarette. It could be a Swisher Sweet.
Okay.
Could be a chocolate cigarette I could be eating, eh?
Could it be a blunt?
So you don't even, you're just making assumptions.
Well, but we're asking you, could it be a
blunt? You know what happens when you assume?
Tell us.
You're often wrong.
So you're saying you're not smoking pot at all. This is all just made up.
I'm saying, hold on a sec.
That's the thing right there.
Not a vaporizer either. That's a bong.
That's a bong.
I'm saying you can't jump to conclusions, because when you jump to conclusions, you make an ass out of you and me.
Oh, I don't think you understand. You don't understand how that expression goes at all.
So don't even start saying things about me that aren't even true, because I have lawyers, and most of them are Jewish.
Okay.
And that is relevant because...
Then you're in big trouble because they are good.
Oh, your attorneys are talented.
Yes.
Okay. How'd you lose your girlfriend if everything's going so great for you? How'd you let that sweet little Selena walk out on you?
First of all, Selena and I will always be the best of friends, eh?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we always will have... We all care about each other.
Right.
But she had a different idea about what the nature of our relationship was than I did, eh?
How do you mean?
I thought that I could have sex with other people.
Right? But
Selena did not think that was part of our understanding.
You guys did not share the same vision.
I was shooting wristers through the five hole with one of these models from Victoria's Secret, eh?
Uh-huh.
I was giving her the slap shot.
Sure, yeah.
I was going top shelf, eh?
Understand.
And she was under the impression that my stick was still on in the penalty box, eh?
I got you. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. It's just a misunderstanding.
Sense? Oh, sure. No, if you're a hockey fan, it makes perfect sense.
Okay. Yeah,
but we get the sense you're lying as well.
Hold on a second.
All right. Okay.
How am I smoking and talking? That's how good I am.
That's a good question.
All right?
Oh, man. This is the best vaporizer I've ever worked with. And I have you know, by the way, with your trying to paint me in libelous paints.
What?
That I have a prescription for medical marijuana, eh?
Right. Oh, you do?
Yes.
What's the issue?
I have a little nausea sometimes that just helps me keep the food down because I have nausea problem.
That is one of the benefits. We'll let you get off the phone then,
so
Justin.
Please
don't. Smoke some more. Smoke. Justin, take another hit. Come on.
I better take some more medicine.
Yes, please. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show with a special guest joining us.
Yeah,
Matt
that's
Money
right.
Smith also stepping in studio here this
Why
morning.
Why do communists need shoes? Because they didn't buy their cars at Delta.
That's right.
That's right.
Dynasty. Yeah.
Was that Cartman singing that song, by the way?
Was
that listening to the out?
Tonight.
Didn't sound like Cartman.
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some tickets to a very special K-Rock advanced screening of a little movie from Guillermo del Toro called Mama.
Yay!
Never has the word mama carried so much terror with it. Mama!
Love it.
It's terrifying, isn't it? Two little kids left in the woods for 5 years to raise themselves, or did they? Their aunt and their uncle take them in and try to take them from their feral selves and make them useful members of society again. However, Mama seems to be lurking somewhere about. Yeah, terrifying, terrifying. Jessica Chastain stars in this film. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, we're doing a special screening on Tuesday, January the 15th at the AMC Burbank 16. And if you don't win, don't feel bad because Mama's in theaters everywhere Friday, January the 18th. You can check it out then. But if you'd like to go before everybody else, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through at that number will get a pair of passes to see Mama. Glad you're here, Money Matt Smith.
What do we got?
Or whatever your name is.
Whatever your name is. Clippers. Huge. Huge story in this town, the Clippers.
Best record in the NBA.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Clippers.
It's nuts. It's so much so that even the celebrities are starting to trade sides. Even starting to take over.
F them.
The next generation of hipster celebrities moving over to the Clippers now. Lakers are old news, man. Mm. It's all about the Clippers. You know how I know?
Who they got now?
Taylor Lautner.
of the Twilight series.
He's one of the singing dogs.
He was one of the shape-shifting wolves, yes. He apparently not only was at a Clippers game the other night, but was seen leaving that game with one of their beautiful blonde cheerleaders on his arm. He was going out after the game, taking out one of the Clipper girls.
All right. We were excited about this, thinking he just, like, you know, went to his handler and said, that one.
Yeah.
And then she showed up and sat in his Ferrari, and they drove off.
Yep.
Apparently, they went to high school together.
What?
I know.
All right.
I know.
Oh, you're a buzzkill.
I am. We were excited. We're like, oh, wouldn't that be great? I want that one.
But he still knocked boots with her, though, right?
I mean, it's Taylor Lautner,
isn't he?
Went,
still a full moon, and he still was able to give her the silver bullets.
How like a wolf, Taylor. How like a wolf.
You better be careful, because I'm getting really angry now.
Great in that action film. Charlie Sheen may be the poster boy for hot messes in Hollywood, but he seems to have a pretty decent streak as well.
A good heart.
Yeah. He famously gave Lindsay Lohan $100,000 for her tax troubles. Remember that? When they just worked together for a couple days.
And then she never thanked him.
She never thanked him. She has since.
Has she?
When he publicly said, "You never thanked me, not winning." She came back and said, "Oh, I lost my phone. Your number was in my phone, and I lost it."
Oh, that sucks.
No way to get a hold of you.
And then he donated a ton of money to a girl who had a specialized kind of cancer that was very difficult, very expensive to treat. He set up a fund for her and her family so that she could get medical help, which was very cool. And now he has stepped up. And remember that paparazzo, Chris Guerra, who was hit while trying to get a shot of Justin Bieber in his Ferrari on New Year's Day? Remember that story?
He died, right?
He died. And no one stepped up, apparently, to take care of the funeral arrangements. Charlie Sheen wrote a check for $12,000 to pay for the funeral of that photographer.
No kidding. Hmm.
Good guy.
He said,
"Nice man."
That a tragic incident like this erases the line between photographer and subject. He sent his condolences to the family and realized that, he said, as parents, I know what it's like to have to, he said, we're not supposed to be able to bury our children, he said. And so out of respect for his parents, he picked up the tab for the funeral.
Hmm.
Which I thought was pretty cool of him.
Very generous.
Of course, everyone's talking about the awards season. Oscar nominations were announced yesterday. Golden Globes are coming up. Co-hosts Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were talking to Hollywood Reporter, talking about their plans for hosting that event that airs this Sunday. They offered up the idea of a Golden Globes drinking game.
Oh, I like it.
Tina Fey said, "Anytime an actress cries in a speech, you take a drink. Anytime you see a person actively not listening to someone on stage, you take a drink." They're caught in the audience. "Anytime Judi Dench is shown, you take off an article of clothing." "Anytime Maggie Smith wins, you take a drink." Anytime anyone thanks Harvey Weinstein, you eat a meatball sub.
Oh, that's right.
I think it was appropriate because he's a big fella.
They're going to do a great job Sunday night. I'm so excited about them.
Just cursed them, man.
Yeah,
now they're going to fail. Nice work.
They can't fail.
You're the guy at the football game says he hasn't missed a field goal in 27 attempts. You're that guy.
Wide right.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at their shows. 30 Rock and Parks and Rec are two of the funniest week in, week out shows on television. These girls are great.
And even Steven Spielberg, who is being honored by the Academy with all those nominations for Lincoln, even Steven Spielberg in today's climate has a hard time getting a film off the ground.
See, he's one of those guys you'd think he just throws ideas out.
Do it himself, right?
People run with it.
He had a new film called Robopocalypse in the works.
Sorry, I thought you said it was Robopocalypse.
Robopocalypse is the name of the film.
They didn't go for that?
And we found the problem.
That sounds like a sci-fi channel.
It's a science fiction adventure with giant robots.
Starring, I would want to see it just based on the title, knowing nothing else about it.
Starring Anne Hathaway and Chris Hemsworth.
Wow.
How could that
go
wrong?
Big young stars. Scheduled to begin filming this spring and be released April of next year, but the project has been shelved.
Who said no to him?
Walt Disney.
Walt said it?
He did.
Wow, that's
crazy.
They
thought him out, and he said, no.
No, we can't do it.
Part of the problem, apparently, is the budget. Look, we live in dire economic times. Budget was around $160 million.
Whoa. Wow. But that's the kind of movie that could easily make $500 million around the world.
Or not.
You would think.
Maybe he was just married to the title. I don't want to change it from Robocalypse.
That's your Spielberg?
Is that your Spielberg?
It is. It's not the best. I'm still trying to hone it here.
Keep honing. So Robopocalypse has been put on the shelf, and we may not see Spielberg's Robopocalypse anytime soon. What if it was a giant Lincoln robot?
Then you get both.
There you go.
Come on. Robots with beards.
You get the critics and you get the general public. A giant Abraham Lincoln robot. It takes on a giant General Lee robot.
I think we're onto something. I think Money came up with Robots with Beards as the new title.
Robots with Beards. Today's celebrity birthdays, Amanda Peet. I know, speaking of you, you love Amanda
Peet. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe she is the hottest woman in Hollywood.
Couldn't be more appropriate to have Matt
studio
right now.
Oh, Amanda Peet.
She celebrates her 41st birthday today. Christian Jacobs, singer, musician, TV producer. You may know him from the Aquabats. I know him as the creator of Yo Gabba Gabba.
Best show ever.
Which is on constantly in my house. Boy, do I watch some Yo Gabba Gabba. For Halloween this year, that my wife and my baby girl and I, we all went out as three of the Gabba Gabba friends.
Oh, I didn't see a photo of that. I'd like to.
I can show you one. I was Plex.
Why course. Not?
Plex.
Come on.
I am Plex. I am a helpful robot. Plex.
Do you have a beard?
There's people who know what I'm talking about out there. Mary J. Blige is 42 years old. Tom Dumont of No Doubt celebrates his 45th birthday. And actress Kim Coles from Living Single and In Living Color. She's 51 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Friday. I'm going to tell you that not a day goes by that I don't miss our next guest, Matt Money Smith. For all the years that he did sports on the Kevin Beach, and now, of course, with the Petros and Money nationally syndicated show, heard weekday afternoons at AM 570. Doesn't it suck that we don't have sports on this show, Money? Can you even believe that?
I cannot, and it is insulting to me because basically it says that it doesn't say that I'm irreplaceable. It says that, yeah, we didn't really need you anyway. You know, now that you're gone, we're not going to replace that position.
You know what? Not necessary.
Yeah, we're fine.
You contributed so little, we didn't need to replace
exactly.
you. That's basically what it says.
You could take it either way. I would take it. If I were you, I would take it as no one can replace me.
Yeah, but I hate myself, so okay. That's how
right.
I take it.
All right. Well, I hate not having the opportunity to talk about sports every single day because it seems like, and of course you do a full-time sport, so you know, there's always so much going on, always so much interesting to talk about. And right now, maybe a lot of people aren't thinking about baseball, but this Baseball Hall of Fame story, I just can't get my head around. It's nothing's funnier to me than the fact that the greatest players in the history of the game are now eligible to be in, and none of them are being admitted. Talk to our audience about that who haven't been paying attention, Matt.
Yeah, for people that don't know, this was the steroid ballot. You know, that's basically what this one was. The first time
once a year, they nominate people for the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yep, okay. And you get to vote for four, and if you get a certain percentage of the vote, then you'll be enshrined later that year at Cooperstown. Okay. This year, you had speculation, surrounding these players, never positive test for guys like Mike Piazza, Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. Now, McGwire has been on before, but they got so little. I mean, such a tiny percentage of the vote, it's almost impossible to imagine that, like being said, the greatest players of, many of your listeners right now, their childhood will not be enshrined.
Look, how do you have a Baseball Hall of Fame and not put in Roger Clemens, a guy who's won seven. Cy Young Awards, a guy like Barry Bonds, who's the all-time home run leader. How do you, under what circumstances is it possible that he does not deserve to be in the Hall?
No, it's crazy, and I guess, this is where people go after the Baseball Writers of America, and that's who votes for it. It's not players,
okay.
It's the BBWA, and people say, if you have half a brain and you have covered the game of baseball for 30 years, like these baseball writers have, and you didn't know that Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds were all juiced to the nines, then shame on you. And the point is, you knew, and you never wrote those articles, and you never took on baseball, you never took on the union. So why
are you
now?
You sat back and enjoyed it, is what you did.
Yeah. So now in your ivory tower, you're saying, come on, we're the baseball writers. We can't allow these men into the Hall of Fame. It's great hypocrisy.
And the other thing is it's completely arbitrary, too, because this falls under what it's like a morals clause, basically, isn't it? It's like, if you brought shame to the game, in our opinion, we don't want you in our Hall of Fame, right?
Right.
Yet they have guys like Ty Cobb, one of the most racist people who ever walked the face of the earth. They put him in.
Yeah.
And that's not as bad as doing steroids?
Well, and I guess the point that the people are making that believe these guys should be in is, what is the Hall of Fame? It's a timeline. If you've ever been to Cooperstown or wherever you may go, Canton, when you walk through, it's basically a time. Here are the greatest players from the 20s. Here's Murderers Row, the Yankees. Look, it's Babe Ruth, and there's Lou Gehrig, and you go, what are you going to see for the 90s?
It was canceled. Baseball was canceled.
Basically, there'll be nothing there. But what you will see is, here's Barry Bonds' ball when he broke Hank Aaron's record. Here's
or
Mark
balls,
McGuire's.
And look how shrunken they are.
here's Mark McGuire's bat when he hit 62. So it apparently is okay to honor the records. Those have not been stricken. The Hall of Fame celebrates those moments in the game. Why the hell aren't they celebrating the players? Either just completely wipe it out or just get over it.
So who got in?
Nobody. Nobody. And
really?
That's the sad thing. You've got this tiny town of Cooperstown that basically bases their entire budget for the year on one week.
Nobody.
When all these baseball fans descend for the induction ceremony, and there won't be one this year.
Well, it'll be short.
Yeah, I mean, then there'll be the veterans and the, hey, we're honoring the play-by-play guy for the Cincinnati Reds. Come on out to Cooperstown. I mean, it really is a mess.
Look ahead, Matt Money Smith, if you could, to 5 years or 20 years or 50 years. Well, how are they going to resolve this thing? Because eventually they're going to have to deal with it, right?
I think it's, you know, anytime you hear, I guess, history professors talk about history, they'll say, you know, you hear about Alexander the Great or Genghis Khan, and it's the further you get away from it, the less you hear about, oh, he had 100 million people killed, but he was a great leader. I mean, really knew how to galvanize an army and get there. And that's what I think will happen. You know, we'll get 20 years away, and it'll be, oh, Barry Bonds hit 700 home runs. It won't be Barry Bonds' head was the size of a bowling ball because he took so much HGH that, you know, the records will stand out beyond the drugs, and ultimately they'll get in.
So, in other words, it's not like some other halls, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you're on the ballot for 7 years and then you're not on the ballot anymore.
That is how it is.
Oh, it is?
It is, absolutely.
So they're going to have to be reintroduced then at some point.
Right, like Veterans Committee sort of stuff.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay.
But you know what? I was very surprised at how much incoming the baseball writers took, because you figured a lot of people were on the same side they were.
Right.
Hey, you screwed the game. That's Roger Maris's record, and you snatched it from him with your juiced-up biceps knocking those balls out in Busch Stadium. But that wasn't the case. I mean, the fan sentiment seemed to be, hey, F these writers. Who the hell do they think they are? You know, take the vote away from them and give it to the players or somebody else or a committee that's more responsible. I was very surprised at all the pushback they got.
As a non-baseball fan, I think the game needs the juice.
Yeah.
It needs everything it can get.
If
that makes them hit more home runs, then let them have the juice.
And have we enjoyed a season of baseball more than we did in 1998 when Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were going after that? I mean, you would go home and it would lead the local news, no matter what city you were in. Mark McGwire hit one today. Sammy Sosa hit two today. I mean, this is one of the great stats, if you're a dork like me and you like stats. Sammy Sosa hit over 60 home runs. Three consecutive years. He never led the league in home runs in any of those years.
Wow.
And he hit more home runs than a record that stood for 40. And he never led the league in home runs in those years. That's how juiced people were back then.
Wow.
That's
the
good old days, huh?
All right. Matt Money Smith is here for the Petros and Money Show. I promise, no more baseball talk. We will change gears. There's much more to come right after this on the Kevin Bean Sean K-Rock. Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Radio Show in studio with us. Must be weird for you to hear the whole song and not just the part you use for bumper music, right, Matt?
That's right. But you know what? At least we get a little bit. At least we get a tiny, tiny bit.
A little taste.
Yep.
Hey, I want to talk about basketball, of course, but I have to ask your broadcaster's opinion on the story that we all talked about earlier in the week about Brett Musburger and the ESPN apology that was issued over his comments during the game the other night when he was talking about the quarterback of Alabama's hot girlfriend. And then ESPN issued an apology because he called her a beautiful woman. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's, you know, and Petros had a great point on this, and he calls, you know, he was on the Cotton Bowl. So these are, this is the national championship. You know, this is not your standard football audience.
Right.
If you know, we're idiots on our show, and if you don't like the irreverence or the colorful language, you can turn it off. You can't turn off the national championship game. I mean, you're watching that because it is for the BCS championship. So it's like an Olympic audience. It's like a Super Bowl audience.
And, were there a lot of non-football fans watch, you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's that big of a spectacle, and that's the last thing you want to do.
You don't want Uncle Creepy on there?
Exactly. It just went a little too far. You know, my point
but
was...
he didn't say, my God, look at that rack.
Well, he must do to her.
But he did say, I mean, I think the problem was, you know, the quarterbacks, they get all, right, Herbie? They get them all.
Yeah,
and
right.
Herbie just sat there, and he's like... I'm not touching this thing.
Saying this.
You know, I know better than that. And I mean, are we too PC? Probably, but at the same time, you got to know the moment. It's about the kids on the field. It's about the game. And
not
I think
at that,
in that
moment,
yeah, exactly. In
no,
that
it
moment,
wasn't.
Brent made it about a hot chick and a 73-year-old guy oogling her, and it was kind of awkward and kind of creepy.
Yeah, take it
I mean,
off.
Think about it. It overtook the game.
It
if
did.
They just pan to her and he says. That's AJ McCarron's girlfriend. She's Miss Alabama, as a matter of fact. Back to the field. Instead, she gets plus 200,000 Twitter follow. I mean, it ended up overshadowing the game. Absolutely.
It did.
I mean, it was a bigger story than the game, and that's the shame of it.
Yeah, partly because it was such a
game's going on.
Game. Yeah,
it was a terrible game. But I think the idea that they issued that apology also create, you know, it obviously added to it, and I don't think they needed to do that. They could have just let, you know, Brent get crushed by the people that wanted to crush it. Exactly. And people celebrate him for...
New topic.
Yes.
Here's the headline in the Washington Post. Lakers turmoil continues. Could they miss the playoffs?
Easily is the answer to that.
Yeah. I mean, I heard Kenny Smith say it yesterday, and it was a great point. And it's something that I've kind of been alluding to, which is just go by the numbers. I mean, if you just look at the winning percentages through 45% of the season, almost halfway through, you know, based on those winning percentages of the eight teams that are in the playoffs, the Lakers are going to have to play the second or third best basketball in the league just to make the postseason.
Which?
From now until the end of the year. Can you see them going, you know, 37-8 the rest of the way? No.
On paper, you could. Not the way it's been working out.
They don't play the game on paper, man. You know, I mean, that's what you'll hear the players say. I mean, it's not played on paper. It's a mess. The injuries are a mess. It is a collection of individuals and not a team. And as great as Steve Nash is at playing point guard, as great an individual player as Kobe Bryant is, Dwight Howard, it's just not a good fit. Yeah. I mean, the pieces don't fit.
If Phil Jackson were coaching these exact same players, could he make it a team?
You know, I was in favor of – I liked the idea of Mike D'Antoni. I thought his system would work because Dwight Howard's such a great role man. And by that, I mean you play the pick and roll. You know, Steve Nash is dribbling. Dwight Howard picks his guy, and Steve Nash comes around. His defender's stuck there, and then Dwight Howard runs to the basket, and here's your –
Seems like
Lob
it should
City.
Happen every time.
Problem is, I didn't realize how bad a ball handler Dwight Howard is. So if he ever has to put the ball on the ground, he's got – he is just turning the ball over like crazy this season because he isn't good in that facet of the game. So Phil Jackson would have brought the triangle. We wouldn't have had this, you know, 110 points per game that Mike D'Antoni has, but they might not be losing 125 to 110. Yeah, their defense is atrocious. I mean,
that's what makes me mad as a Laker fan. Is defense is just effort.
Yeah, it's effort, and it's covering for your teammates.
You can't make the shots go in. You can't make offense happen, but you can make defense happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, and who did they give up 125 points to the other night?
The Houston Rockets.
Right.
Yeah, the Houston Rockets, which, by the way, is the highest scoring team in basketball, but it's still, you shouldn't lose a game you score 114 points in.
No.
You know, they scored 14, and that's, you know, on the injuries, like I said, and this is, and just to kind of speak to the mess that that team is, after the loss to San Antonio, Dwight Howard is talking to the beat writers, and he's like, hey, what's up with this story about me having a torn labrum? I mean, where the hell are you guys getting that? The press release that the team sent out? You mean this one that says Dwight Howard torn labrum? I mean, that's how big of – I mean, that is, as Ralph said in the last – it's a hot mess. I mean, it is as bad as you could have ever imagined it going.
Is it possible that it's gone too far to turn around, or might they be able to turn it around?
Well, I mean, look, like you said, when you look and you see the greatest defensive player of the last 7-8 years in Dwight Howard and one of the 10 greatest players or 15 greatest players in NBA history in Kobe, the best making playmaking point guard and shooting point guard perhaps in the history of the game, well, why can't they figure it out? You know, but why wouldn't they have figured it out by now? Why are they 15-20? You know, I mean, that's my problem with that theory as well. If they just get into the playoff, well, we're 35 games in. Why have they not figured it out yet? I mean, what are they going to sort out in the next 45 that they haven't sorted out in the first 35? And I guess that's where the big problem is.
I remember people were freaking out when the coach said it might take till Christmas to get it figured out. And now here we are almost, you know, we're 3 weeks after.
Yeah.
And they're still struggling. All right. Let's how about a few words on the opposite side of Staples Center, which is the Clippers. And now their life is Chris Paul on Jimmy Kimmel last night being treated like a hero.
He is. I mean, he's probably, you know, he's in the conversation as the MVP. He would get my vote. I mean, if you voted for MVP today, he would get my vote over Kevin Durant and certainly over LeBron James right now because of how poorly Miami's playing. That team is nothing without him. I mean, they just aren't, you know, and we were talking to Mike Dunleavy, his former, well, the Clippers' former coach and former Laker coach the other day. And, you know, the point was made that he is everything wrapped into one. I mean, he is magic. He has the nasty streak of Kobe Bryant. He is as great a teammate like Steve Nash. He's got all of that.
You know what should have happened? The Lakers should have got him.
It's interesting.
That
you know?
Would have been cool.
I brought that up because he said, you know, and that whole Laker crap, you know, that's that, you know, and I said, whoa, what do you mean? And he said, you know, I was part of a group that was about to buy the Hornets, and I sent a text message to David Stern, and I said, you can't let this deal go through. This trade is embarrassing. I mean, they're not taking on any extra salary. They're dumping all these bad contracts on New Orleans. And he said, you know, I was informed that, yeah, the trade's not going to go through. Somebody got their hands on it and leaked it before what he said a trade call was made, which has to happen with the owners of a team. And that part never happened before the news leak. He's like, that deal was never going to go through. So don't feel like it was ripped away from them, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. The Clippers are clearly good enough
they're
to win
great.
The Pacific. Maybe the West.
Maybe.
Can they win it all? Can they win it all?
They need to rebound better. They're playing good defense. And look, they went undefeated in December. I mean, if you can have an undefeated month, then you certainly can make a run at a Larry O'Brien Trophy. Chris Paul. It's an individual sport. I mean, it's a team sport. Clearly, as the Lakers can tell you, because they have a lot of individual talent. But when you have one of the best individuals in the game, I mean, it's why Michael won all those titles. It's why Kevin Durant and LeBron James were in the finals. Yes, they have great players around them, but you got to have that one guy that is uber elite. And Chris Paul is that. It's a point guard league, and he is the best point guard in the game. So it turns out the Clippers are damn good and have a real chance at making the finals.
Well, unless you're a guy like Kevin who loves the Lakers so much that he can't enjoy other teams' success, this is good timing for casual basketball fans because at least there's still a great team to watch in Los Angeles.
Best team in the NBA.
Come on.
Now, best record in the NBA. Yeah.
Petras and Money Show airs weekday afternoons 4 to 7 on AM 570. Matt Money Smith, always great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Go Seahawks.
Welcome to a Friday program. Before the end of the show today, we're going to give you a copy of Linkin Park's latest album, Living Things, and qualify you for a grand prize drawing we do Monday to send someone to, where, Kevin? I forgot where we're going.
Australia!
That's right. Destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2013 is Linkin Park in Sydney. You can qualify for that at 9:10 this morning, and then again at noon 10, 3:10, and 6:10. Details at krock.com.
Is it called noon 10?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I am often accused of caring too much. That's the rap on me.
If I do anything,
I love too hard. Would you agree, Lisa?
Yes, you love too hard.
Let me butt in, though.
He loves things to death.
Here's the thing, is that everything you and I care about, the big things, he could care less about, Bean. But the minutiae, the crazy insignificant things
unfair to categorize
are at the very top of Bean's care list. And you go, how could you possibly care that much about this tiny topic?
Dude, if you pay attention and take care of the little things, the big things work themselves out. Everybody
turns
knows
out
that.
That's not true.
You can't just let the detail. You can't just ignore the details and expect to have a productive life.
Tell
Kevin.
People why off the air you have been ranting and raving like a lunatic about the game Monopoly.
I am rattled to the core right now. I am shaking. I am quaking. I am nervous. I am sweaty. I don't know how I'm going to live between now and February 5th when it is unveiled which of the Monopoly tokens is going to be removed from the game. Now, you're screwing with history here is what's happening because they're going to take away one of the tokens that you choose. When you sit down to play Monopoly, Kevin, as you know, you pick a little token that goes around the board that represents your play, right?
Right.
What happens if they take away the race car?
Then
I don't want to live in a world where there's no race car in my Monopoly set.
Now, for the first 2 weeks of Bean talking about this off the air, we just would blow him off. We would look at each other and go, that's just Bean. He won't shut up.
Because this is a big deal. Because they're screwing with history here.
I'll answer your question then, Bean. If I sit down to play Monopoly and there's no race car, I'll pick the top hat and everything will be cool.
But then you wouldn't. But what if you're always the race car?
Then you just then what
do
you
do? Oh my God, this is guy who wants to go to a new restaurant after work but can't. His car won't drive there.
Yes.
This is what this is.
Look, I've been the race car since I started playing Monopoly in 1935, the year the game was introduced.
You weren't even alive in 35. What's wrong with you?
Good point. That would be the third question. When's the last time you played Monopoly?
It's probably been a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So how can they care this much?
Right. And number two,
who gives a crap?
Do you have a Monopoly game?
Yes, I do.
And
yes,
does
I do.
It have a race car?
Yes, of course it does.
Are you afraid? You will always have your little stupid race
are
car.
Are you afraid they're going to break into your house and take your stupid little race car?
Hey, you don't know, man. That's how it goes. Look, Obama's taking my guns away. Who's to say Parker Brothers isn't going to break in and steal my race car? Who's your token? Which one do you like, Kevin? Who do you like to be when you play?
Honestly, I don't have a favorite. I don't care. Whatever's available.
What would you pick, though, if you sat down and they opened up the game and you picked
choices?
First?
I don't even know what they are. There's a top hat?
Obviously, there's a top hat. There's a shoe.
Take the shoe out.
There's a thimble. I've got no time for anyone who picks a thimble, by the way. No time at all. There's a battleship. There's a wheelbarrow. There's an iron. That's for ladies.
Wait, is there an iron?
There's a Scotty dog, which is the Scotty dog is one of the most popular ones. There's no I've been to pregame.com. I've been following the odds as they have been changing up and down on what token is going to be removed.
What are you talking about, pregame.com, with the odds for
Monopoly?
Apparently,
the Scotty dog and the car seem to be the safest at this point. But you never know, man. You never know if there's going to be some sort of last-minute campaigning and the battleship is going to come on strong. I mean, we don't
know
what's going to happen here.
Is there voting?
Anyone. Yeah, you vote. You can vote. You can vote with the Parker Brothers site.
People with no lives.
People with no
you
lives.
You mean people who care about things that are important in this country is what you mean.
Oh, my God.
So you're always the car, so that's the one that might be taken away.
Well,
from other people's games. So if you go to somebody else's house, which will never happen, and play Monopoly.
My fear is the car is going to be taken away. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know, man. You never know what's going to happen.
You know what you could do, Bean? You could carry the little car around with you.
That's right.
Also,
and then if you get stuck in a Monopoly game without the little car, you go, bam, and pull it out.
Lisa, you made some reference to the fact that it may be my autism talking here, but I'm not a big fan of change, as you know. I like to have a system.
Much worse at this, by the way.
You have.
You know, when I go to Denny's, I do eat all of my eggs first, and then I eat my turkey bacon, and then I eat my pancakes in that order every time. I mean, I have systems.
Wapner 10. Got to watch Wapner 10.
How do you guys feel about them taking a token out of a Monopoly game and then replacing it with a newfangled modern token, which is what they're also doing at the same time?
What are my choices with the newfangled modern?
Yes, because this could be crushing.
It could be a cat, for instance. Any thoughts about putting a cat into the game of Monopoly?
I'm not a fan of cats.
I don't mind a cat. That's fine.
You know what's going to happen is I'm going to continue to not play Monopoly, and I won't have to face that crushing blow of seeing the cat piece.
Like, what if everybody else picks, and then you're stuck with the cat?
What are
Great
the chances
question,
of that?
Lisa.
The chances of that are I might as well I'll win the lottery before that happens.
How can you just
How
go
can
on?
You care?
How can you just go on willy-nilly with your life if
Who
now suddenly there's
a
cat in your Monopoly game,
and
Kevin?
Why?
How could you just ignore that?
Why is a cat newfangled? They've been around for a while.
I'm just saying that all of a sudden in 2013 we need a cat. I'm fine with a dog, all right? Don't be mixing things up by dogs
it's
and cats living
iPod.
Together in a board.
Oh.
You've got bigger problems than you've ever had before.
They also are...
Have you written a letter? Have you written an angry letter?
No, but I do have that on tap for this weekend. You better believe I'm writing a strongly worded letter.
All right, we want to hear the letter on Monday.
This will not stand, ladies and gentlemen. I urge you immediately to go online and go to the Monopoly Facebook page and cast your vote. Don't let them do this. This is a travesty, man.
Is this the terrorist winning?
That's exactly what this is. Now you get it.
They're going to put a noose in? That's what they're going to put in?
Now
wow.
you get it.
Oh, you are effed up. Ralph, what's Bean going to do if he tries to play Monopoly and there's no car?
Hope he kills himself.
Tim writes in, Bean, I couldn't agree with you more. There are only a handful of things in the world that are still sacred. Monopoly is one of them. Now what? Are they going to replace the car with an iPhone? We're failing as a nation, man. The end is near. That's just a small sampling of the complaints that I'm hearing about from people over these Monopoly.
I'm sure you're hearing a lot.
I'd like Bean to jump off of Park Place. Plummet to his death.
I'm with you on that.
I want to buy a hotel in Park Place just so he can leap off the roof of it.
You don't know, man.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
This is great news. Great news for actors everywhere. Mike Tyson has just got a new TV gig.
Yes.
Mike Tyson's going to be guest starring on Law & Order SVU.
Fresh from the Broadway stage, Mike Tyson is slumming and doing television now?
Yeah, playing a murderer on death row whose violent actions may, in part, be a byproduct of his horrible childhood. In other words, Mike's playing Mike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
spinal part in my back.
Well, that part.
That noise you hear right now is actors here in Los Angeles everywhere just tying a noose on their shower curtain rods in their bathrooms. And Mike Tyson is nabbing coveted guest starring roles on Law & Order SVU.
Yeah, I was violent because of my childhood. Yes. Oh, you have nice boobs, Mariska Hargitay.
Cut! Cut! Here we go again, Mike.
Where's Ice-T? I love him. Cop killer.
Horrible. More TV news. Angus T. Jones will, in fact, be back on Two and a Half Men this season.
That show's crap, evil. Don't watch it.
Despite the fact he publicly said, don't watch it. It's filth. I'm on the show. I don't want to be on the show. Please don't watch it. It'll pollute your brain. Satan will get inside your soul if you watch this TV series. And the producer said, all right, game on. Thanks, Angus. No worries. That's the magic of Hollywood. If you were involved with a successful project, you can just do anything. Go and pee on the producer's head, and he'll say, well, hey, come on, cut it out. All right, I'll see you on the set tomorrow.
This time I mean it.
But the minute the ratings start to dip, look out.
Yeah.
He has got a brand new arc of episodes. He's going to start shooting in the next week. New girlfriend brought on the show, too. Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl will star as his girlfriend. A tattoo artist, an older woman with three kids. Yeah, should be good times. Green Day fans, some good news. Their new documentary, Quattro, is premiering at the X Games Aspen on January the 26th. At the end of the month, the documentary, which shows the fellas leaving the tour and then going into the studio to record Uno, Dos, and Tres, their three studio albums. First time it'll ever be seen is in Aspen for January 26th, X Games, and then it'll be in theaters, and then you'll get to see it on DVD and Blu-ray as well. So, Green Day fans, take heart. Good stuff going on.
Later, later!
Every day.
She's the best.
Every day without fail.
She really is. She's the gift that keeps on giving. You guys read the story, the New York Magazine story about shooting the canyons?
Was
the
movie that
she was making with Paul Schrader? Fascinating story that documents what a hot mess. I mean, way beyond whatever we could imagine. No one wanted her on the shoot except for the director, Paul Schrader, and he brings her in, and she's a mess. She gets fired after 2 days on the job and then hysterically begs, sobbing, to have him take her back, he does, and freaks out at the idea of filming a nude scene, so she locks herself in a closet, and he's got to take off his clothes in order to get her to agree to come out and do the news. It's like a comedy. It's like a parody of show business when you read this article. If you haven't found it, just go online and pick it up. It's fascinating.
Take off your clothes. All right.
There's also a mention reportedly where she gets behind the wheel after tying one on and partying with Lady Gaga until 5:30 a.m., even though she had a 6 a.m. call time on the set that morning.
She gave herself a half hour.
A drunken half hour. Yeah. Great stuff.
My favorite part is that she acts like she's in a completely different movie. Like, she wants to do the scenes in a totally different way than they were rehearsed and the way they fit into the rest of the movie, and she just can't be talked into just doing her job day after day after day.
Yeah, and she keeps making suggestions and trying to tell them how to make the film. They need a role of an elder sort of intellectual psychologist character, and she says to the director, Paul Schrader, what about Jared? And he's thinking Jared Harris from Mad Men.
Right.
Who played the British guy on Mad Men, also played Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes movie. And he's like, Jared Harris, well, that's a great idea. She goes, no, I meant Jared Leto.
What?
It's completely wrong for the role, but she's friends with Jared Leto, so she's trying to get him the part. It's just hilarious when you read this article.
Fewer suggestions from you,
it's
Lindsay.
Remarkable. Anyway, good times. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Coles from Living Single and in Living Color is 51 years old today. Mary J. Blige celebrates her 42nd birthday. Tom Dumont of No Doubt, guitarist for that band, is 45 years old. Christian Jacobs from the Aquabats, but more importantly from Yo, Mother Effin' Gabba Gabba. Damn, that's a good show. Who's your favorite Yo Gabba Gabba character?
I don't really
Who
have
would
one.
You say? Are you a Fufa man? You strike me as a Fufa man. Although you could be a Tootie. You strike me. You
I'm
might,
afraid to admit to either of those.
You might be. You might have an affinity with a 2D. I think. Of course, I'm a Plex. Lisa, I see, is a Muno.
Yeah,
and Bean is definitely a Broby.
Oh,
don't
no
get me wrong.
About
he
that.
Is absolutely a Broby.
I was going to be the race car.
He's all over the Broby.
Christian Jacobs is 41 years old today, and actress Amanda Peet celebrates her 41st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
LaQuisha reviews last night's Buck Wild on MTV. That's coming up. Then Cousin Sal with a preview of the NFL playoff weekend. That's all on the way here on the Kevin Beach Show. First, though, guys, Shameless is coming back for season 3 this Sunday night. How about that? On
Love
Showtime.
It.
One of the stars of the show, Steve Howie, joins us in studio now on the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock. Hi, Steve.
Hi, guys.
It's so funny because Shameless, as I mentioned, you're in your third season, but it seems like Showtime gets all the press for Dexter and for Homeland, and not enough people are talking about your show because the people that watch it love it.
That's true. I think that's starting to change, though, because Dexter's leaving. They're on their last season.
Yeah.
Homeland is a juggernaut. You have to talk about that show.
Yeah.
Great acting, great material. But Shameless has a really good fan base. So
most of them drunks.
Of course. Degenerates, but that's what we want.
And let's talk about that. That's a great way to introduce maybe people who haven't checked out Shameless yet ahead of the premiere this weekend. It's a little bit risky to make your central character on a show a guy who's not that likable. I mean, William H. Macy, who's such a brilliant actor, I mean, he is a drunk and really just does not take care of his family, and that seems like a risky premise to base a show on.
Yes, but, you know, as you said, William H. Macy is a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
He does think. When we're in a scene together at the bar, at the Alibi, I constantly screw up because I just stop and watch what he's doing, you know? And it's like, I guess the only thing.
Cut, Steve, you've got a line.
And I was like, that was really good. Are you going to do that? That was fantastic, Bill. But, you know, that character has a lot of bad qualities, but he's such a good actor that he is likable. And at the end of the day, you know, it's really about all these things that the family has to go through.
At the end
overcome.
Of the day, it's about Emmy Rossum.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. If I could just interrupt you.
Why are there so goddamn many kids on your show, Steve?
You know what? I don't know. But they take all my scene time.
It's annoying.
It is.
Yeah.
Tell folks about your character, about Kevin the bartender.
Kev the bartender, next door neighbor with his lovely wife, Veronica. Played by Chanel Hampton.
Plug.
We're the next door neighbors, and we're a mixed race couple, and we are part of the family. We like to think
everyone's sort of part of that family.
Yeah, I mean, in these low income neighborhoods, everybody knows each other because they don't leave the neighborhood ever because they can't because they don't have a transportation or they just don't have enough money to pay for the bus. But the local bartender, and we end up helping in whatever way we can with the family, the babysitting, money, support.
I'm so glad that you play a character named Kevin that's not an idiot, because my name's Kevin, and every other Kevin on TV, movies, they're always tards.
Yeah.
And you got Kevin from The Office. I mean, it's that kind of character.
It is weird how often that happens, isn't it?
It really is.
It's almost like they listen to this show and they are inspired.
It's very possible. I hope that's not the case, but I'm glad that you don't play a dumb guy.
Yeah. Well, I've built a career on it, so it's I'm slowly kind of getting away from that.
Steve, to play a bartender convincingly, did you have to develop some behind-the-bar skills? Did you actually have to learn how to do it?
No, I had some skills before.
Being
an actor, you know, you come up to the ranks of slanging noodles. I used to slang noodles at P.F. Chang's China Bistro. So I was a bartender there and a waiter. And, I know how to throw some bottles around like Tom Cruise via cocktail. But, also when they have drinks written, like you'll have three pina coladas and then you pass it to, this extra. And I'm like, are you guys kidding me? Pina coladas. Who wrote this? You know how long it takes to make this? Where's the blender? You know what I mean? No, no, no. She's getting a vodka tonic.
And she'll like it, damn it.
And she'll like it. And then here's your little red stirring straw. Move on. So.
Oh, he's an uppity bartender.
Yeah.
You want there.
The only time I get to rewrite it is when it's with the drinks.
That's funny. This is the voice of actor Steve Howie here on the Kevin Beach Show. He plays the bartender Kev on Shameless. Again, we're talking about it comes back for season 3, Showtime Sunday night. Tell me how you got the job. Tell me what the process was for you to get onto this program to begin with.
Well, I read the script and it was amazing. And then I saw the British version. It was originally a BBC version. Yeah, that was on for, I think, 10 seasons.
Oh, wow.
And
in Britain, that's like 100 years. They usually have two seasons and out.
Absolutely. This was a beloved show out there. Paul Abbott was the creator, and John Wells brought it over to the States. And he told us that he spent 9 years, 8 or 9 years, to try to get it on the air.
Wow!
And it took that long. So went in for the audition process, and they said at the audition that one of the scenes you will have full frontal nudity,
which we need to talk about.
Yeah, and I said, they said, "Are you okay with that?" And I said, "Absolutely." I said, "I'm just going to be in the corner, you know, tugging on it, going, oh, this is my nightmare. It's cold in here."
Well, they ought to provide. I mean, it's cable. They ought to have a fluffer on staff.
You would think.
Help you out.
You would think.
All right, we need to take a break. Shameless is coming back this Sunday night. Steve Howie is on that show, and we'll be right back on K-Rock.
Steve Howie in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is one of the stars of Shameless, which returns for season 3 this Sunday night at 9, right in the middle of the Golden Globes. So good planning on that. A lot of people will be available to tune in for
Golden
that.
Golden Globes would be boring.
You're welcome.
Well done for that. You started to tell us, Kevin, of course, is obsessed with penises, so he was asking about that full frontal nude scene that you did early on in the first season, I guess. You were starting to tell us, and I thought this was interesting to hear from an actor's perspective, that men are the new women when it comes to TV and movie nudity. Explain that for me, please.
Men are the new women. Girls are the new boys. Butt crack is the new cleavage.
We're not heading in the right direction then.
Well,
if that's a direction, I don't like it.
Well, this is Hollywood standards. But the male nudity is at the forefront. And as you brought up, Schmidt, you know,
mm-hmm.
He's always nude. There's a lot of nudity going on in
basic
cable. And the pay cable, you'll have full frontal nudity. Which I did. And
now tell us about that day.
That day.
Did you wake up and go, oh, man. Or how about the week before? Did you start working out?
Or are you just super like cool out? And confident
I'm just saying,
and
no.
professional?
How do you work out, Lisa? You want
I
me to
mean,
answer that question?
That.
No, because there are times of the day and in the week and in the month that every guy knows that there are some times where you just look down and go, oh, really?
That's the best you got?
Yes, that's what you're doing. Okay. Touche.
Right, but you don't want that to be
you
the
don't
day
want that
you're
day.
On.
Exactly. Right. So there's, you know.
You asked him to put like Liam Neeson's penis in there and just edit it in?
Yeah, Willem Dafoe. Any, I've heard the stories.
Special effects.
Harvey Keitel.
Is it Harvey Keitel?
Remember the piano?
The piano.
He was one of the very first to ever.
He was. The
women have stunt doubles all the time.
Moment.
Exactly.
In movies and in TV, where you see a nude woman, it turns out it's just a stand-in. Something.
Yeah. This is
not for you. Not this one, huh?
This is my friend Paco. He's going to be standing in for me. He's 4'3". Yeah, but he's 4'3". Never mind.
Steve, tell me about when they're shooting those kinds of scenes. And you also have a lot of sex scenes on the show, too. You're, you're a horn dog, basically. Is it just like another day at the office for the people on the set, or is it still, even though they're all professionals and work in this business, is it still a little bit uncomfortable and awkward and you know, a little giggly?
It really is. I mean, so yeah, you crack a joke to, you know, break the ice and lessen the mood, but there's so many people inside that one area, the camera assist, the boom, the sound, you know, and then in between you're laying there naked or a wardrobe comes over and gives you a robe. You know, there's gaffers running around screaming in walkie-talkies to bring.
Is it cold? Seriously.
Are you asking me for a reason?
It's not a really warm.
So you saw the scene. Was it last season or the season before?
That's exactly right.
So you saw that and that's where you got that from?
I'm just asking.
Thanks, Lisa. Was it cold? Was that your problem?
Was it cold? They keep sets cold, right?
They do.
I'm going to need a heater for the bed today. I'm going to need somebody to bring in a heater.
That's so there's nothing awful. Sexy about it for you.
There really
at all,
is nothing how do, sexy.
How do you prepare that day, though? You're laying there and you know it's going to happen. Do you just give into it and just go, whatever?
Honestly, I was nervous and I knew that if I could overcome this, I could overcome anything. Mm. You know, it was really one of those moments in life where you're like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I mean,
it sort of does.
It does.
Because then you're going to walk around the rest of the day going, honestly, it's not always that way.
Yeah, but, you know. It's just I'm not a porn star, and I never wanted to be, and I will never be.
Did you have a pregame ritual?
I did not. There's no jumping jacks or touching.
I don't know if you're going to the bathroom beforehand or what.
No, another actor. I won't say his name. I was telling you.
Say his name.
No, I won't say this. Okay.
But say it.
He's, you know, we do things to work it up. You gotta do.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. This is very educational.
I didn't because I thought it would. I was worried that it would go too much. Then I was gonna go into the next
too much.
Yeah, you don't want to go too far. Yeah.
I don't want to go. I didn't want to go to the red zone.
I just well wanted, said, Steve.
You know, I just wanted to go.
Cut 15-second break.
All right, show Steve some Holocaust photos. Seriously,
we
got to get this back under control so we can finish.
Shoot around it.
What a weird job you have.
But it's fun though because we get to do this, we get to talk about it, and then in this season three, I'm not going to give away too much, but Kev and Veronica, we try to get pregnant, and we recruit the help of Veronica's mother. So I'll leave it at that. But
that was all good till you brought in the word mother.
Yeah, there is. There's some mother daughter help.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Wait a minute.
What's happening here?
Yeah, and so and you know that those scenes. I was worried because.
There's mom and daughter. That's not sexy.
Well, the thing is, though, is these actresses, Vanessa Bell Calloway plays Veronica's mother. She's beautiful. And Shinola is beautiful. And
yeah, definitely.
This is a lot of young white males' fantasies is two African-American women. And so I was worried that I was going to go to the red zone during those right. You know, during those scenes. And so that's where Holocaust photos would have been nice. But when you have,
you hate to get to the red zone and not score.
Yeah.
I know that's what people really...
But, you know, a lot of these
frustrating
grips, they don't shower. So one whiff and when they walk by, it just takes it out, you know. And you're like, you know what? You've been wearing those... You know those stupid what are those balance things?
Those special shoes.
That roll.
Exercise you.
That just took me right out.
Sure.
You know it's those shoes.
Sure.
Specifically.
Yeah. Well, and, Shameless comes back series 3 Sunday night at 9. Season 3, excuse me. Sunday night at 9 is when it premieres.
That's right.
So that's that sounds like an episode worth waiting for.
How far
I'll
into the season is that?
That's a few in. So
a few in.
Okay. I hope everybody goes out and gets Showtime if you don't have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shameless is great. House of Lies is coming back. That's great.
Yeah, that's a really good show. And this season's going to be, I mean, as our conversation has been, it's going to be intense.
Yes, and it's a fantastic show. Steve,
thank you. Thanks
for coming.
It's really exciting for me to be here. I've been listening for years, so thank you so much.
Aww. Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Every time you wonder if reality TV can possibly go any lower, if they can find dumber people, they manage to do it. And the latest example of that is Buckwild, which was a huge hit when it debuted last week over there on MTV. Listen to this headline, Kevin. Buckwild is what happens when people stop being polite and start producing poverty voyeurism. That's one critic's review of the show. And it's a bunch of dumb white kids in West Virginia. And when you think of stupid white people, you think how much our friend LaQuisha enjoys talking about them, and she joins us on the phone once again this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, LaQuisha.
Good morning, white devil.
So have you fallen deeply in love with the kids in West Virginia on Buckwild yet?
I would not use the phrase deeply in love.
All right.
Okay.
But I would use the phrase hate with the fire of a thousand suns.
But you like them.
What did I just say? Shut up, Kevin.
What's your biggest problem with these kids?
My biggest problem with these kids is odds are their ancestors at some point burnt a cross on the lawn of one of my ancestors.
I see. Okay. Understood. Well, I haven't really been following the story up till this point, but where are we with last
story?
Night's episode?
There's no goddamn story. This is a bunch of stupid, toothless hicks. Jumping into dump trucks full of water, calling it a pool.
But how fun was it last night when you were watching it?
Not fun at all.
But what happened last night?
Well, last night, Shay, who's one of the girls in the group, who's probably the most conventionally attractive of all the girls. By that, I mean like, she got all her teeth, and she seems to have an IQ well into the double digits. She's got a boyfriend named Jesse J.
Okay.
She and Jesse J, we learn in this episode, have a very special relationship. Shay just adores Jesse J.
I've been with Jesse J for a while now, and things are really great. The fact that he's such a good dad attracts me to him more. I have more respect for him because of how he is with his daughter.
You have to have respect for a teenage single dad. He's made all the right life choices at this point. As a 19-year-old father of like a 41-year-old daughter, I can see why Shay loves Jesse, especially later in this episode where he starts to hit on her girlfriends while she's asleep.
Sweet.
Now, Shane, as you know, who I think is the Snooki of Buck Wild, he is the dumb as a brick hillbilly who lives in Wolf Pen Holler. That's right, there's a place called Wolf Pen Holler. And he decided it's so hot out that he needs to help his friends cool down with some summer fun.
When it's hot around here, we don't need no water park or no pool or nothing. All we need is some soap, a tarp, and a hill. That's how we cool down around here in these parts.
This is f***ing awesome!
Yeah, he takes a large plastic tarp and rolls it down a hill and covers it with dish soap. And they all slide down the hill.
You get the idea that's the only soap that guy sees all year?
That's the only bath he takes all year is on that slip and slide. And really, what's more refreshing in the summertime than rolling around in some hot soap on a piece of plastic? I can see why they use that to get refreshed in the 90-degree sweltering West Virginia heat. Let's slide down a plastic top on a grassy hill and some hot soap.
I am starting to think that this is a trend because this is how Honey Boo Boo's parents take care of them in the summertime, too. Same thing with the soap and the tarp.
That is not as refreshing as a water park. I'm saying that right now.
Correct. Right about that.
It's hot soap on plastic.
Yeah, it seems bad.
Now, Shane throws a big party for everybody after the big slip and slide party. So they're all by the bonfire having a good time, and the girls are deep in conversation. And Shane has a unique way of telling everybody the party's over.
It was cold as in that room.
Dude, it would be like 10 degrees, and we pull the covers off us.
I know. And you stole my bra that night.
Holy Shane, you don't do that.
Right,
sorry, I gotta kill the party.
Yeah, that noise you heard was a handgun being discharged.
What?
He pulls out his gun and fires it in the air to signify it's the end of the party. He had to kill the party. And likely one of his neighbors with a stray bullet. This is the NRA in action right there, people. Now, Shane's dad, I'm surprised Shane is such an idiot because Shane's dad seems like a very thoughtful, well-spoken gentleman, and he gives the boys a talking to when he finds them on the dirt bike that they own riding around the holler with no helmet on.
I done told all three of y'all, if you ride the bike, put the helmet on.
I had a helmet on.
You did not have no helmet on, I just seen you. He just got off a tractor right there without a helmet, and I just watched Shane sitting up there in the driveway. I seen all three of y'all on that dirt bike with no helmet on. Now, boys, I ain't going to put up with it. Now, either you wear a helmet or you stay off the bike. One or two.
One or two.
He's laying down the law.
Listen, if you are worried about brain damage, Shane's dad, don't you worry about that. That ship has done sail. No worries there. They can't do it. They can't be any dumber. Even a head trauma would likely increase the intelligence of these three boys. That man, you know, owns every Jeff Foxworthy comedy album ever put on tape.
No question.
Now, Shane is also a good friend. He's going to help his friend Tyler get over his fear of heights by having him jump off a train trestle into the water that runs out of the nuclear power plant down the stream from where they live.
What could go wrong with that?
He's going to help him get over his fear of heights by jumping into radioactive wastewater.
Tyler's scared of heights, so we brought him to this bridge here to jump off of. If you want to be a man, you can't be scared of anything.
No, you can't be scared of anything except, of course, books and dental hygiene, if you're a man in West Virginia. Now, they all get together. They go to the big city to go to this giant party that's held at this nightclub. In Morgantown, West Virginia, they go into this big party where all the people be there in day glow clothes and black lights are going to be going on. It's quite an adventure for these people. And good for MTV showing young, white, drunk people in a club situation fist pumping. I'm glad they have the courage to put that on television. Now, one of the girls, she decides she's going to go crazy with her girlfriends and do all body painting. Take their shirts off and just body paint up their boobs so they can take their shirts off at the club and keep dancing.
Right.
She is very proud of herself.
I can walk around a club naked. Either my f***s are hanging out
It had to be the best night of my life.
Yes, when you're in West Virginia, showing your naked boobs to a room full of strangers becomes the best night of your life. You don't have any of that pesky college graduating getting in the way or getting married to somebody who's not your cousin. Just bring out your cans at the nightclub, ladies. Memories will last forever.
That's true.
And no one had a better time at the party than Shane, because Shane has never been really to the big city before. He stays mostly there in Wolfpen Holler. Boy's only been in an elevator once in his life. But he had a good time at this party in the big city.
I don't leave Sissonville too much, but the whole night was awesome. I was just jumping up and down, having a hell of a time. I had my sunglasses on. You know, I was just having a blast.
He had sunglasses on indoors.
That is crazy.
He is crazy. He can put on sunglasses and the sun is not even up, people.
Hey,
That's how he partied.
He also jumped up and down.
May I add, went, woo! He's crazy, that Shane.
Yes, I'm glad
he carries a handgun. I wish he would turn it on himself and everyone else on this show.
That's a very special episode of Buck Wild right there.
I hate you.
If I didn't know you better, I would think you didn't like the show.
Our friend Cousin Sal from Grantland.com joins us right after the top of the hour with a preview of the NFL Divisional Playoffs weekend. By the way, I've been doing a lot of reading about the NFL this week, as I'm sure we all have. Did you know it's been 7 years since the Patriots won a Super Bowl?
I did not know that.
Isn't that surprising? Don't they seem to you like they win it every other year?
Approximately, yeah.
Seven years.
Yeah. Wow.
That shows how difficult it is to win one of those. So we'll talk about the games this weekend coming up, plus give you a chance to go see that band we just played in Australia. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
You pulled out of that one. You pulled out of Australia.
He's not committed.
He was not committed.
Light.
Australia. And then he just went, yeah, light. Not happy with that.
Bean, do you and Dave the King of Mexico have any wagers on the weekend's game? It is
we don't.
Seattle versus Atlanta.
Seattle-Atlanta, that's
I'm
right.
Not a big, I'm not a big sports bettor.
Really?
Pussy.
Maybe that's why.
Thank you, Dave.
As Dave said, you're a pussy. Maybe that's
why.
Plus,
I hate to take anything from Dave because I feel like he's probably poor.
No, honestly, you hate to lose a nickel.
But he bets money every year on the baseball season
and loses every
year.
That's a standing bet. That's the one. I feel like that's my commitment to gambling for the year.
That's not much of a commitment. You should put a buck
on
it.
I'm not like Kevin who's got thousands riding on every game.
Put $1 on it.
For Bean to bet $1, he really has to feel really good about something. If there's any measure of uncertainty at all, he can't.
But I'm saying if he's
quite cough
if
that
he's
up.
Worried about the King of Mexico being quote poor, then a dollar.
I don't like to part with a dollar.
We do not have a wager. Dave is still pushing for it.
How about something not monetary?
How
about something, you know, interpersonal or some sort of stunt or some sort of, you know, repercussions should the other one lose?
Run down the street naked, something like that.
Dave had to eat paintballs once with me when we had a playoff bet going
on. That's right, yeah.
Grow a pair. Why don't you jump off the bridge, Buck Wild?
I can enjoy the game without having any money on it. I feel like I already have enough at stake just as a fan.
I can enjoy the game sitting there getting my hair done in the salon with the rest of the ladies.
Fruit Loop. All right, don't forget, people, this Saturday night, tomorrow night, 8 p.m., Kevin Smith and me doing our Hollywood Babylon show. It's the first one of the new year. You're not going to want to miss it because it'll be a 90-minute to a two-hour show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Out of that 90 minutes, I would say 83 minutes of it will be Lindsay Lohan. So you're really not going to want to miss it. There's so much to talk about. Lindsay, of course, featured in a New York Times article talking about what a complete mess she was on the shoot of this film, The Canyons, which is just really, from all accounts, just one step above porn, really. It's just a sleazy, sloppy, low-budget film with a bunch of people whose careers are dying. And
a four-way sex scene with Lindsay and three porn actors, right, Ralph?
Yeah, and which is what was mandatory. It said she had to commit to that in order to get the role in the film, and it's just disgusting on every level, and she just sounds like a nightmare. She locked herself in the closet at one point during the shooting, said she was drinking on the set, drinking behind the wheel, driving to the set loaded. Just spectacular reading. You gotta check it out.
Where is it?
New York Times. You can find it online. Yeah, spectacular. And the next hour, we don't have time here. We're just really out of time. But in the next hour, I will bring you some audio from the set of her screaming at her co-star.
Excellent.
She sounds just loaded and just a hot mess. So we'll be featuring that in the next hour. Don't forget, Sunday it is the Golden Globes. Maybe the best award show of the year, not so much for the awards, but for the fact that they serve alcohol during the ceremony. So at all the tables, all the celebrities are there boozing it up. And as host Tina Fey says, it's a great situation because these are people who don't eat much.
Right.
Sure. So just a couple cocktails in and they get pretty loose pretty quickly. So she and her buddy Amy Poehler are going to be hosting the show on Sunday. And they told The Hollywood Reporter they've already devised a Golden Globes drinking game.
It's funny. It's almost always a third party that comes up with the drinking game, not the people involved.
Yeah. Rarely do you see the hosts coming up with it.
Right.
Anytime an actress cries in a speech, you drink. Anytime you see a person in the audience actively not listening to the person on stage, you drink.
That's every audience shot.
It happens all the time. You sit in the audience, you see them chatting at the table or something, and someone's giving a heartfelt speech. Anytime Judi Dench is shown, you take off an article of clothing. That's an interesting wrinkle to the game. Drink anytime Maggie Smith wins. And Tina Fey adds, anytime anyone thanks Harvey Weinstein, you have to eat a meatball sub. So you might want to load up from Subway and get yourself a half a dozen or so, because that's bound to happen. Today's celebrity birthday is Amanda Peet. Oh, she's lovely. 41 years old today. Just funny and sexy and just has it all going on. Mary J. Blige is 42 years old today. Tom Dumont of No Doubt is 45. Kim Coles from In Living Color and Living Single, she's 51 years old. And Christian Jacobs, the man I owe so much to for entertaining my daughter Olivia. He's a member of the Aquabats, but he's probably best known these days as creator producer of Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So we treat them with care. So don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends.
What a good message.
We don't want to hurt.
All right.
We don't want to bite.
Okay.
We don't want to fight.
Okay.
No way. Because that's not right.
All right.
No, it isn't. No way. So don't.
All right. Got it.
Don't bite your friends.
I think you need to learn this lesson.
Noted.
Fight.
No.
Does Fred Schneider do all the music for the show?
You don't know, man. You don't know. Don't bite your friends. You take one thing away from the show today. Let it be that.
That's actually good advice.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Cousin Sal joins us on the phone. His cousin Jimmy Kimmel has been crushing it in his first week at 11:35. You guys must be so happy over there to see how well you're being received at the earlier time slot, Sal.
I got to tell you, I am hoping there's another writer's strike immediately and we go out on top.
Do you want to? You just want things to quit right now?
Yeah, it needs to end right away.
Wow. I know you guys, maybe you can't say anything about this, and I'm sure you guys have had this conversation, but I mean, Jimmy is now actively destroying his hero, David Letterman. He's now on opposite the man that he's idolized his entire life. That has to feel weird for him.
I know. It's very sad. He's got the pillow over his face with tears rolling down his eyes, apologizing. But no, Jimmy's often said he would love to just come in second place with Letterman being first. And it's hard to imagine ending up that way. But yeah, it's very, very sad. But what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What
exactly.
You guys did to Mark and Brian, right? You killed them, but you know you had your doubts.
But they weren't our heroes.
Oh, you exactly. Loved them. You forget how much you loved
That's
them.
Right. I did forget well, that. Well, Jimmy will be joining us on Monday morning here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We'll also talk more about that. In the meantime, let's talk football with Cousin Sal. Of course, he writes for Grantland.com on Twitter at @TheCousinSal. And let me ask you a question to get us started, and that is, what's your theory on the teams that didn't have to play last weekend back in action this week? And they've had a week off, so maybe they're healthier, but are they going to be a little rusty?
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. And I know you guys get nutty when I bring up my stupid trends, but you have to hear me out. This
because your trends week, are stupid, but go ahead.
I know, they are stupid. This one's even worse. But no, I have backing here. The second week of the playoffs, which you bring up, teams are coming off byes. The first two teams in each conference, the top two teams, get a bye. It's traditionally a terrible week for the casual bettor. And worse yet, Vegas has been getting clobbered lately. The favorites were 4-0 last week, plus Alabama covered a big spread Monday. So the gambling gods are chomping at the bit to get their revenge. And the second weekend, is when at least one big favorite goes down, at least one of those teams that has a bye. Hear me out here. Just indulge me.
All right.
Last year, the Giants were an 8-point underdog. They beat the Packers. 2 years ago, the Jets went into Foxborough, beat up the Patriots. They were a big underdog. The Jets beat the heavily favored Chargers 3 years ago this week. Kevin, you may remember 4 years ago this week, your Cardinals came out of nowhere and blew out the Panthers, who are a huge favorite.
Of course.
Beware. Beware of the big underdogs this week.
All right, there's four games, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. Let's talk Baltimore-Denver.
Well, before we do that, do you have a game in mind that is going to be the upset this weekend where we're going to see one of these major teams go down, Sal?
Yes. I was sort of leading into that. Yes,
so that's what I thought, yes.
Ravens-Broncos. I have at least one of those. Ravens are a 10-point underdog against the Broncos. They lost to them about a month ago, 34-17. The Broncos won 11 in a row. Am I crazy enough to bet against Peyton Manning? You're damn right I am. Joe Flacco's won several playoff games over the years on the road. The Ravens were missing five starters when they played the Broncos last month. I think the bye hurts Denver and their momentum. Take the Ravens in an upset, 24-17.
Nope. That would be shocking. But look, I mean, here's the thing, and this is why I framed the question at the start of the conversation, is because, you know, the Broncos are coming in against the team that has won a bunch of games in a row, as are all the teams that had bye weeks. You're playing against obvious teams that have to be hot or they wouldn't still be in it. That's what makes this so fascinating this weekend.
That's right. At least take the 10 points. I really feel like there's an upset, either that and the Patriots game, but that's the one I'm targeting.
All right. Also on Saturday, then, we talked about Ravens-Broncos. How about Packers versus San Francisco? A lot of people are saying this might be the best game of the weekend.
It is, and it was the hardest one for me to pick. Aaron Rodgers is coming back to play in his native Northern California. He's never played a pro game in San Fran before, and I ultimately think the Packers are better, but I'm taking the 49ers. Rodgers was sacked 51 times this season. That's astounding, and it's not good against this 49ers pass rush that keeps bringing it. And I think the kid, Colin Kaepernick, for the Niners, he has some help in the running game. 49ers will take care of business at home. It'll be a close one. Take them, though, given 26-21 final.
All right, moving on to Sunday, my beloved Seattle Seahawks, the team that a lot of people are saying nobody wants to face in the playoffs right now because everything's going well for them, although now they've got some injuries heading into Sunday's game against Atlanta. What says you, Sal?
Dean, I'm with Ralph. I can't believe that you don't have a bet with the King of Mexico.
Right!
You should leave the country. That's a communist hack, I think.
I know that's super offensive.
No,
to
it's
you.
Communist.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good way at least to get some vital organs back, right?
Maybe Dave has to give up a kidney if the Falcons lose. Yes. Maybe that's the answer.
Maybe walking around with two spleens. Who knows? It should be great. But this game comes down to what kind of value you want to give that Atlanta has been a complete garbage team in the playoffs lately. Does that inspire them to win? What about the fact that Matt Ryan threw five interceptions against Kevin's lowly Cardinals earlier in the year?
Yeah.
And they faced a more ferocious shutdown defense. I actually, you'll love this, Dean. I'm going against the grain here. I think all of this works to the Falcons' advantage. I feel they're going to get a few big plays from their stud wide receivers. The crowd's going to be hopping. And Seattle's been terrific. But let's face it, if RG3 didn't play the second half with the Heather Mills-esque legs, the Seahawks are watching these games from home. I like Atlanta to prevail. Give the 2.5, 30-23. Falcons take care of business.
How about that? This is Atlanta, by the way, the team that has been losing in the first round season after season, right? I mean, they do not have a track record of going very far in the playoffs in the past.
They're sick of it, yeah.
All right. The New England Patriots, as we mentioned moments ago, I was shocked to find out this morning it has been 7 years since they won a Super Bowl. So you know they've got the itch. How are they looking for this weekend against Houston?
That's a long time. Here's another big favorite, and all signs point to the Patriots. They already slaughtered the Texans 42-14 last month. Guys, say what you will about Tom Brady. Go ahead. I'm giving you a chance. Say what you will. All right. But when he gets pressured, it's a totally different game. And every time you want to send the Pats to the Super Bowl, they get tripped up. They play like crap against San Fran, and a couple weeks later against Jacksonville. I think they get off to a slow start versus Houston. That top-rated defense has a lot to prove. I think they'll limit Tom Brady's possessions. I'm tempted to take the Texans in my second major upset, but I'll instead just take the 9.5 points. I think it'll be a close one. Last-second field goal ends at Patriots 23-20.
All right, let's recapping here. Baltimore plus 10 over Denver, which is going to break a lot of people's hearts who want to see the ultimate comeback story with Peyton Manning heading back to the Super Bowl. But you say no. Green Bay Packers, let's see. You've got the 49ers minus 3 on that game. You've got Atlanta minus 2.5 against the Seahawks Sunday. And then New England minus 9.5. And that's against Houston also on Sunday. You can read much, much more about Sal's predictions for the NFL weekend and so much more at Grantland.com. Follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal and see him with his cousin Jimmy weeknights at 11:35 on ABC. Sal, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for coming on.
You too. Thanks, fellas.
All right, we've been told that Beer Mug did not like our Justin Bieber bit.
Yeah, Bieber was furious. He wants to know why he was off the air.
So pulled. I didn't realize that Beer Mug had that power at this point, but
you can
apparently
decide what bits air and what bits don't.
Wow, that sucks. We just got mugged. That's what just happened there. Hey, if it's okay with Beer Mug, Ralph would like to do some showbiz news now.
Ralph wouldn't like to do any showbiz right now, actually, but he has to.
It's just depressing.
It's just depressing.
It is depressing.
It's depressing that the guy without the mental energy to light an appliance light bulb has the power to just take us
take
off the air.
Take a whole station off the air.
Take it right off the air.
Just say, nope, you guys aren't doing that.
Stunning. Stunning that he wields that kind of power.
It did go on his permanent record, and like once a year, they do evaluate those things and decide who to fire. So we're maybe one step closer, though, Ralph.
Yeah, seriously? Look around the station. Look who's still working here after all these years. You tell me how much that matters.
If it were just mistakes, I would have been gone a long time ago.
That's not how they make the judgment around here. Problem is, Beerbug doesn't make enough money to get fired here. That's the problem.
That's true.
We have to get his salary up to a point where it becomes no longer financially feasible to keep him.
That's true.
So we have to get him a raise before we get him fired.
I know.
Strange logic, but trust me, that's how it works.
All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Woo!
Beer Mug Willing.
Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Charlie Sheen's a nice guy.
You don't hear that often.
No, I don't. But lately, he's been on a tear. I mean, sure, he used the F slur against 10% of the population.
He said maggot,
and he has
a lisp, remember?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right.
And sure, he's sort of a drugged-out loser. But look, he can write a check with the best of them, and he keeps coming up strong. He gave Lindsay Lohan. He felt sorry for Lindsay Lohan. If you're Lindsay Lohan and Charlie Sheen's feeling sorry for you, take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
She had tax problems. He wrote her a check for $100,000. He recently came to the aid of a family that was dealing with their daughter was suffering from a rare form of cancer. He raised money. He gave money to them so they could get her treatment. And now he's stepped up to the family of Chris Guerra, who was the paparazzi, or paparazzo, I guess would be the proper term, the photographer who was killed trying to get that shot of Justin Bieber in his Ferrari on New Year's Day. Turns out Bieber wasn't even behind the wheel of the car. He was pulled over by the roadside trying to get shots of Bieber getting pulled over by the cops, and he ran back into traffic and got hit and killed. So he stepped up, and he has let the family know he is going to give them a check for $12,000 to pay for his funeral.
Wow, that's cool.
It is kind of cool. Charlie told TMZ.com that a tragic incident like this erases the line between the photographer and the subject, sent his condolences to the family, and revealed that as parents, we are not supposed to bury our children. So his heart went out to the parents of Chris Guerra, and he gave them the money for the funeral. So it's a nice thing.
That's way above and beyond what is necessary for anyone who's not involved in the story to do.
It's nice to have that kind of money, though.
Yeah.
You can read a story in the news that bothers you, and then you can actually do something and write a check and help people out that way. It's a nice thing about being rich. Not a lot of rich people do that, but Charlie apparently is got a heart.
Mugs, it all right if we continue with the showbiz?
Yeah.
Are we good so far?
All right.
Just give me the high sign. If you want to get me off the air, just let me know, and I'll immediately stop.
Sorry, guys.
While we're talking about Lindsay Lohan, big story in the New York Times about her being a hot mess on the set of the film The Kenyans. This is the movie she made with James Dean, D-E-E-N, the porn actor. This is his first real mainstream film, Paul Schrader directed, based on a story by Bret Easton. One more time.
I don't even know what you're saying right now.
Bret Easton Ellis.
There it is.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote American Psycho and a bunch of other books that were popular for a minute. This is his screenplay, and it's filled with sex and drugs and the underbelly of Los Angeles and kind of stuff he specializes in. But it's an extremely low budget. It's almost an exploitative film. And she was given the chance to star in this film and was just a hot mess on the set, according to this article. Drinking on the set, driving while intoxicated after partying with Lady Gaga at 5:30 in the morning and coming to the set at 6 a.m. and fighting with producers and not wanting to do this nude scene that she was already had already agreed to do. So the director, Paul Schrader, I believe, is the director, had to strip down naked in order to get her to also get naked for the scene.
In what world? In what world does a director do that?
It's like trying to coax a wild ferret out of its cage with some Alpo or something. Just the extent you have to go to get this animal to do some tricks. Anyway, TMZ, our buddies over at TMZ.com this morning posted some audio that was surreptitiously recorded on the set and then snuck out and released somehow to the website. And it's Lindsay trying to rehearse a scene with the director, calling out the rehearsal instructions to herself and her co-star, James Dean, while they were trying to rehearse this scene. A kiss was involved, and they were trying to work up everything to that point. He had some dialogue, James Dean, this porn star, did, that he had to get out before he got to the sex scene. And I'm sure he's just not used to that, trying to act before the sex. It's just probably just the sex part he's used to. She gets fed up with him, starts yelling at him, and the director's trying to calm them both down.
No
kidding. And it's kind of hard to understand. You make out most of it, especially where she tells him to do his effing job, the other actor.
Oh, good.
And you hear the director at the end just sort of wilt, and you'll hear him say, you know what? I'm tired. I think we're done.
He just gave up the will to live?
Here's the audio.
After rehearsal.
What shall I say? No, but can you do it? Please, James, say your line as you're walking over. Because we're doing rehearsal with the lines. Are we
actually saying my line?
Do your job.
Until you started talking over.
I didn't say anything as you just walked over. Right. Do your job.
All right. I've had it. I'm sorry.
I've had it. I'm tired.
Oh, my
God.
I'm
going to get out of this business now. Thanks so much, everyone. That's a wrap.
Do your effing job. What a thing for Lindsay Lohan to say to anyone.
Here's the thing. You don't say that to any other actor on the set ever, no matter who you are. I don't care if you're Laurence Olivier.
Well, he's dead, so yeah, that would be
especially
amazing.
Especially if you can say that. I don't care if you're Dustin Hoffman. I don't care who you are. That's not your job. The director's job is he's the general, and he gets the other soldiers in line, and you don't overstep that bound and start telling people what to do. You sit there quietly and let the director kind of get that person in line.
Especially for her.
Exactly. But so the best, most professional actor in the world wouldn't do that, let alone when you are the hot mess that Lindsay Lohan is. For him to be barking at her co-star was wildly
And she's working for a guy, by the way, who's done dozens of movies. Co-wrote... What, Raging Bull and
Taxi Driver?
Christ, Taxi Driver. The guy's got a track record. He's got a credential. He knows something about Hollywood. Let him direct you, and you'll be better off.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm tired. You have finally broken my spirit, Lindsay Lohan. I'm finished with you.
Where's that article again we were talking about? Was it New York
Times?
New York
Times, yeah.
Kevin, I'm warning you, it's too long for you, but maybe you can break it down over the next couple of weeks.
It is five or six pages. You will have to serialize it for yourself,
I can read a
Kevin.
Page a day. But I will tell you, it is fascinating, and you can't believe that they stuck with her day after day, because every day she came up with a new reason why they should have fired her.
Wow. She was fired early on in the production, and then came back begging and sobbing for looking for the job back, and they let her back onto the production.
Because he was too tired to argue. Fine, whatever, just stop talking.
It just makes you realize that she is perhaps gone beyond what any of us even thought in terms
That's
of trying
sad.
To resurrect her career. She's,
yeah, I think
she's
so.
No longer viable. You can't even work with this woman.
For a long time, we said she's still a pretty decent actress. She still looks pretty good.
She has a chance she could resurrect herself if she just gets her ass together. And it looks like that's not an option. So, great article. Check it out.
I can't believe Beer Mug hasn't killed her yet.
Well, he pulled a plug in that production. He went by the set and... He burned all the film stock.
You know what's sad, though, is Beer Mug can't really win because now he's depressed because now he sucks at his job again. So what's he going to do after the show? He's going to go start eating again.
Yeah, and he'll smoke, all we're going to do is smoke a couple bong loads and
just eat all day long, all weekend.
Right. Then he'll get fatter and that'll make him more depressed.
And then he'll come to work. Monday,
he'll be more distracted.
Right. I don't think either of you saw when Ralph was talking about the Lindsay Lohan story. I was trying to get Beer Mug to get to the clip.
I saw that.
Yeah.
No, I saw it.
And he was looking at the thing. You know how he gets that look in his eyes? Yeah. Like, I'm looking in that direction, but I can't focus on anything. I was pointing to the literal clip that he needed to pull up.
I was pulling up Leslie Nielsen that has some of the similar letters to Lindsay Lohan.
I don't even think he knew it was Lindsay Lohan that we were talking about.
He's gone.
He may die. We don't have to fire him because he may die today.
The look on Muggs' face is like those dogs in the Humane Society commercials. That's how Muggs looks all the time now.
I will remember you.
He's in a little cage.
He's
just
raised some money just to put Beer Mug down.
Come on, buddy. We're all having fun, right, Muggs?
You're a good time, Muggs. You keep us on our toes. Thank God it's Friday. Because I don't know if I'd come back in tomorrow, quite frankly. I might take a mental health leave. Today's celebrity birthdays. On today, January the 11th, Kim Coles, actress from Living Single and In Living Color, is 51 years old today. Tom Dumont of No Doubt is 45 years old. Amanda Peet, she's a good deal right there. She turns 41 years old. She's on that Children's Hospital, too, right? Doesn't she appear on there?
Yeah, she is recurring. She is.
Yeah, very funny show. She is 41 years old. Did I mention Mary J. Blige? She's 42 years old.
I don't even know.
I don't either.
Did you mention Mary J. Blige?
If I haven't, it's Mary J. Blige's birthday. She's 42 years old. And Christian Jacobs, of course, for a long time known as a member of the legendary K-Rock band, the Aquabats. But he's also a TV producer and creator. He gave us Yo Gabba Gabba.
Don't bite your friends.
No, no, no.
We don't pull their hair. Friends are our friends. So we treat them with care.
Friends are our friends.
That's true. That's hard to argue.
Yeah, that is the truest lyric you'll hear on K-Rock this morning. Without that show, I would have to talk to my daughter. So thank you, Kristen Jacobs, for giving me hours of entertainment. I can just turn on the big screen and just crack a cold one and just put the child in front of the television. And
We don't want to bite.
We don't want to bite.
We don't want to fight.
Yeah.
No way. Because that's not right.
Not right.
No way.
So don't bite your friends.
If you take anything away from today's show.
My favorite part of that song is Muno when he starts going, bite, bite, bite. No, no, no. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Yes, yes, yes. Because you can chomp food, but you can't bite your friends. And they give you they teach you the very distinct difference between your friends and food.
That is a very big difference.
You're supposed to bite food.
Right.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. But do not bite, bite, bite. Do not bite, bite, bite.
Ralph, I think we understand.
I don't think you understand. Friends are your friends.
Right.
They're not food.
They're not food.
Right.
Okay.
So there you go. There's your lesson of the day from the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, I'm sorry. Your second lesson of the day. First lesson of the day is don't work with beer mug. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL Network. We have Harvey Levin talking about celebrities. And we have Jimmy Kimmel talking about being on 11:35.
What?
See you Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Okay, explain the pink.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
And it's snowing like dogs.
Roll another one.
What's going on over here, Mom?
Just like the other one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Unbelievable.
And I need another year.
Welcome,
Iced Tea.
Hey.
Would you consider what we're doing now a gangsta party?
That's far from a gangsta party.
Roll another one.
How do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
Just like the other one.
Holla, beat the other.
This one seems to be about to end.
Riveting radio.
I don't have another cent.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
I don't want like that joint.
This is for all the Tostitos.
Just pass it around.
Tell me you're not serious.
I don't want like that joint, my friend.
I hate all of this.
I just pass it on down.
Pass it on.
This is, I don't know, it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Glad I'm not alone.
You have 5 seconds to get out of here, or I will rip your throats out.
Later days, dummies.
I will always be there for you, no matter what. But right now, I cannot be there for you because I have to go.
Oh, come on, that's horrible. Damn. It's awful. So, well, okay.
See you guys on Monday.